what's poppin'? Sunday night. Might be Monday for you, hopefully, probably. Got Mark here, Jay's here, I'm here. Real Mike Podcast.
Sundays are always pretty intimate.
Yes. What's that all about?
It's a lazy Sunday, right?
Yeah, I would extend my weekend if I had a choice. Thank you, Jay. Now can you turn the music down just a hair? Just a wee bit cranked.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Tiny time of Jay's running around trying to find pens.
I know. That's why I didn't want to point out how loud it was.
Sorry.
That was fine.
It wasn't that loud. Hey, well, things are a little different than the last time we were here. So far, anyway. Got a little nutty Friday night.
Whatever. Ugh.
I know. You know, Charlie's a passionate guy. It's
sure.
You get a lot of you get a lot of things with Charlie, and that's one of them. Had some phone conversations that were kind of interesting myself.
Oh, since then or before?
No, before that.
Oh, okay.
He cares. He cares too much, actually. I mean, I don't think that really is what happened Friday night, but I think that's part of it. I think he gets wrapped up in his stuff. You know, for example, the girl, the headstone, the woman that shot into the house he was trying to find. I mean, that's really grim. I mean, he's one of these people that really wants to make a difference. Now, the people are probably going, well, you make a difference. But but we're not really, that's not, I don't think I went into this going, I want to make a difference.
No, not at all.
And, you know, sometimes we have a chance to do something great.
I just want to be a distraction.
Yeah, I think that's really what things amount to, is that we amuse people, and you keep coming back, and it's an old relationship.
Maybe you can think about stuff that are, maybe it's trivial, maybe it is consequential, but as long as you're thinking right.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get, not that we don't get into things that matter. We do talk about things that matter, but, you know, my priority generally is, hey, if it's not fun, then get it off the podcast or get it off the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's got to at least have a chance. It's got to have a, it's got to at least have a wisp of a chance to get there, you know, unless it's 9/11 or something really intense is going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at the people that we've all been working towards the same thing for a long time, and boom, you throw him in the mix one day a week, and it's different because he's different than, you know, what he's been doing. And, you know, rather than just fit in, which generally he does some of that, but, you know, he brings his own thing to the table, and I just think he had a really super intense week. I'm not trying to make excuses for him. I'm just trying to put a finger on it, on what happened, because it's crazy.
It was shocking, yeah.
I don't think what happened was really what happened. I think it had to do with a lot of other things, and that just was where it all kind of exploded.
Well, that's not fair.
No, I don't think so either.
Leave it at the door.
You guys have any other awkward stuff like that back at 105.1 or back in the past? Any other weird?
Huh?
Not really.
With a celebrity in studio, something.
Oh, well, you know, usually it's on the phone though. You know,
yeah. I'm trying to think.
There's been some weird encounters with people. You know, Dennis Miller. I remember during a
the unicorn. They were Einhorn.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was well.
But he deserved it.
Schneider.
Oh, Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider. That was crazy. Yeah. That was nuts.
That was just stupid.
That was really nuts. To this day, I have no idea what happened there. And if you're not aware of this, Rob Schneider, we were just trying to call him. We had an appointment, actually, and we had phone numbers for him. And I guess we just called the wrong number. He wasn't at his mother's house, which is where he stays sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of a fluky thing. And at the end of the conversation, we were just kind of joking around with his mom about him. She said he was, you know, she said, oh, he was staying here a few months ago, but he's not here anymore.
Yeah, so it became all the usual jokes about a person living at their mom's house.
In the basement, at his age.
Find. Yeah,
yeah. And all the creepy magazines that would be stacked down there. And she actually was laughing. And And she was really kind of cute, you know, very mom-ish, which is how moms generally come off because they can't help it. And like 2 days later, somebody posted it, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was posted. And I'm not really sure. Wait, was that what was posted? God, now I can't remember.
I thought he didn't hear it. It certainly didn't sound like he heard it.
Oh, you know, I think you're right. You know what? I'm thinking of something else entirely.
Somebody else.
Something had been posted just prior to that where he'd been thrown out of a morning show in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And it was over having to wait for 20 minutes.
Yes.
And he came in and he kept making these kind of sideways insults to the morning show.
Yeah, real pissy insults, yeah.
And they just basically walked out on him and left him in the studio by himself.
Yeah. So that's was in a pissy mood to begin with.
Yeah. So, well, he was having a pretty strange week because that got a lot of attention. It was on two of the local network affiliates in Florida, and it sort of spread. It was getting a lot of talk and a lot of hits. So when this thing happened with his mother, I don't even really know what he heard or how he heard about it, but he just went nuts calling the station like every 5 minutes because nobody knew who to put him with. He was calling for us, but then he starts calling for general managers, and then he starts calling our home office in Boston, and he's just screaming at people that we put his mother in the hospital.
Yeah, because she's an old lady.
Yeah, and she has heart problems, and our phone call put her in the
hospital. Apparently turned her very frail because she was fine when we were talking to her.
She was laughing. And it was so crazy. When we called back, the first thing he said was, "You are so fired. You are so fired."
Well, he finally got his wish.
Yeah, he did.
It took about 10 years, but he finally got his wish.
I think it wasn't even that long, wasn't it?
I feel sorry for you guys. I feel sorry because you guys are so fired. You
know what? Sorry if I offended you.
I feel sorry for you guys.
Oh, is that bizarre?
I feel sorry for you, even though I'm the one who started all this and is trying to get you guys fired.
Oh, man, he was going on and on. Oh, I talked to Adam Sandler. Adam agrees with me. It was over the top. You guys are over the top, and, you know, you got to suffer. You got to suffer the consequences for this.
I have a feeling Adam's side of the phone call was like, oh, yeah, totally. Oh, yeah, what? Unacceptable, because as he's doing something totally different.
Writing a script or something.
Yeah.
Barely paying attention. I was just really kind of chuckling, imagining Adam Sandler even hearing about the stupidity.
Of course not.
I couldn't even believe he brought up his name. I think he was trying to drop a name, actually.
Well, then we found out he's kind of pissy about that with movie reviews and all sorts of things.
Oh, is he
taking
ever?
Out full-page ads and billboards.
Yeah, and digging into his detractors' personal lives and finding out things about them. And, really twisted stuff. I mean, we ran into something really brutal and kind of scary, to be honest.
Yeah, but it helped explain some things, I suppose.
Yeah, so
nuts.
So the dumbest thing of all is that our general manager at the time sent flowers to his mother, who I know it goes, "What the fuck are these flowers doing here? What's this all? Some radio station sending me flowers? Why?"
Well, she was in the hospital.
She was not in the hospital. She was never in the hospital. Well, I don't even believe that.
I don't know. He said so. So you have to send flowers, right? What an empty gesture that was. Hey, you say she's in the hospital. So now he has to explain to his mom why she's getting flowers. Yeah. Oh, well, Mom, I lied about you being in the hospital, and I really got these guys fired. I feel really bad, but I got them fired. And
you ain't dead.
They decided to send flowers because they thought you were in the hospital, but you're not.
I don't even know what the point of sending flowers was, because we're not friends with him now.
I took it as a joke more than anything.
We had a chance to be
in. Should we call him?
No, it wasn't a joke. It was actually an attempt to get him to stop calling two businesses, our home office and our radio station, because he would get the place spinning in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think it was on a Friday, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So a lot of people were out or not around.
And he's screaming at every receptionist that he would talk to.
Yeah, because it's their fault.
Oh, brother, what a mess. Mm. And then remember the radio tour came along about 6 months later, and he was on it?
Yeah.
And... Yeah. Did he make some comment about, I think I'll be skipping Detroit? Didn't he say something like that?
God, I don't remember. Wasn't that when he was here in town?
Yeah.
Was he filming here? Okay.
He was doing something. But he was available.
And he kept using the same joke about, we're saving money on ice, because it was so cold. And we heard him use it on like Channel 7
right.
as well.
That's right. It was
saving money on ice.
It was like a... Vin Diesel deal.
Yeah. With Sidney Lumet. And I ate a quart of ice cream.
That makes me laugh every time I hear it. It's so fucking funny.
Called Making Movies. That is one of my all-time favorites.
It's really good. He gives about six different interviews about a movie that's coming up, and he says the exact same thing in every interview. I mean, the exact same thing. It was so lame. It was such a lame line, too. I couldn't believe he wanted to repeat it.
Well, it was his story, though. Didn't we bust...
Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, that's right.
Jeff Daniels was telling us a story on TV, and we were joking about it.
Mm-hmm. He was
like, how many times have you told this story? And he came up on television, and I brought up the audio, and he was telling the story he had just told us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and he admitted, well, you know, you do these tours, you come up with a story to talk about the movie.
He's really cool. I like him a lot.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
You know what I saw just a while ago? Have you seen RV with him and Robin Williams?
No.
You know, that movie is kind of funny.
Really?
Every time I saw it on demand, I'd pass and go, nah, I don't think so. Even though I love Jeff, I just thought, it just looks dumb. I don't know, I just don't think it can't be good.
Robin Williams, yeah.
But it came on HBO or something, and it's actually pretty damn funny. And, you know, Daniels is great. Robin Williams isn't bad. It's, you know, it's a stupid plot, obviously, but it was just, I thought they did a pretty good job with some maybe not so great material.
Hey, so see if my audio works, Jay. I don't know if it's any good.
For his role in Find Me Guilty, it was interesting.
It's a big physical change for you.
It's a huge physical change because I remember talking to Sidney Lumet saying, I love the character, but how am I going to look like Fat Jack D'Annunzio?
And Sidney Lumet said,
we have ways.
We have ways.
We have ways. And little did I know it was 2 hours of makeup every morning.
And little did I know it was 2 hours of makeup every morning.
2 hours of makeup every morning. And a quart of ice cream a day.
I ate a quart of ice cream every day.
Just a quart a day of ice cream. A quart a day of ice cream.
You know how he kept the weight off? Telling that story 5,000 times. I'm beginning to think the Diesel takes a lot of time to prep for his projects.
When I first directed my short film, Multifacial, what I used for confidence to direct that movie was a book by Sidney Lumet called Making Movies. And what I used for confidence was a book called Making Movies by Sidney Lumet. I brought a book called Making Movies by Sidney Lumet. To get the confidence to direct the film, I read a book called Making Movies by Sidney Lumet.
So wait.
Isn't that great?
What a ding dong.
I counted six different shows he was on there that they used.
Oh man, stupid business.
Oh, Vin.
Stupid business.
Mm-hmm.
And how many guys do that?
Oh, I think more than we even realize. But except his was verbatim.
I know. I know. It's like he practiced the interview.
Well, he's an actor, I hear.
Yeah. What, you know, it's funny. He actually made a shit ton of money at one time.
Diesel?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you his celebrity net worth is to the roof because he did that Fast and Furious, all of them,
seven of them.
Yeah,
he was getting a lot for everything he did though. At one point,
I mean, yeah,
his net worth is $160 million celebrity net worth,
$160 million,
which is far different from his actual net worth. By the way,
wasn't he claiming he was bankrupt recently?
Was he?
I thought it was him.
I hope so.
It was probably just to get out of something, just claiming bankruptcy.
I mean, if somebody asked me, do you think you have more talent than Vin Diesel? I'd have a hard time admitting that he probably does. So one of those people, I just don't have any respect for him. I mean, it's a ridiculous question, of course. He's a major movie star, and I'm a local disc jockey. Disc jockey.
He's kind of a meathead, I think, is the issue.
But why, how did he get to where he got? I mean, he read a book called
Making Movies by Sidney Lumet. That's where he got his confidence from. Well, I don't know what his first, because I liked him in Boiler Room. He's great in Boiler Room.
Yeah, he's.
Oh, he's good in Boiler. I mean, he's.
I guess I thought Ben Affleck. I thought Ben Affleck was better.
Oh yeah, and Giovanni Ribisi.
Yeah, that's a great movie, by the way.
Yeah, but look who's in it. We're talking about how good Ben Affleck and Vin Diesel were in it. They're not known for being the world's best actors.
It's funny, though. You never hear about that movie.
Uh-uh.
It's weird. There's There's a, quite a few movies that I really like, and I really, you know, see brilliance in them. And yet, isn't it strange how some movies just get lost? The promotion was bad,
mm-hmm.
or the studio ran out of money.
Oh, I can think of one right away. It's the movie Go.
Oh, Go. I love Go. I
love that movie.
Great movie.
But how often do you hear people talking about it?
Well, She's Out of My League is the comedy. I love talking about that movie. I just think it's hilarious. You know what else is a great, great comedy is Extract.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With Jason Bateman.
It's
owns a factory.
It's a Mike Judge movie.
It's fucking hilarious.
And
there's
Gene Simmons is the owner.
Yeah. There's scenes I just laugh my ass off, and I've seen it like five times. That scene, you know, where he's taking a bong hit, and he's coughing.
Bateman, yeah,
yeah. Jason, and he's yeah. and they're calling that phone number, and that guy keeps threatening him. He's like fake threatening him, and then the phone number's busy because it's his number. The chick he's trying to reach.
That is such a good movie. What is with Mike Judge movies? Because Idiocracy didn't do well either.
I don't know, because that movie's
specific?
Funny as hell, too. I don't know. Just aren't enough twisted people, I guess.
God, he's brilliant.
Although, you know, you don't hear about those movies a lot, so I wonder about the promotion.
I don't know why they just don't get bigger roles.
Office Space? Now, that's a movie that just seems to get bigger and bigger all the time.
But it didn't. That didn't do well.
No, it didn't. But I still think of it as a fairly big movie because people talk about it.
Idiocracy, box office, did $500,000.
That's... seems
it is
impossible.
Such a great movie.
I think my favorite character in the movie is the President
Camacho.
President Camacho.
There's been a lot of posting about President Camacho lately. Obviously, a lot of comparisons. This country's turning to Idiocracy.
God, he's funny.
Mike Judge was 10 years ahead of his time.
Oh, you know what I love in Extract also is you know the guy that Affleck talks Bateman into hiring to try and bang his wife.
Yeah.
Who,
okay.
Every time yeah. Bateman talks to him at the end, he goes, "Hey, if you know anybody else, they might." Every time he talks to him, and then how he just won't stop because he really starts digging his wife, and so every time he goes home, he sees him just driving away, and he's like, "Hey, I told you to knock it off."
Oh man, I want to watch it right now.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Oh wow!
I never ever hear people talking about that movie.
No.
And we're going to the video store, actually, and renting it.
Yeah.
I was still actually renting movies when that came out, so it must have been 10 years ago. But...
God, that's really all he's ever done. Right?
Yeah.
Movie-wise?
Well...
Idiocracy, Office Space,
Spy Kids. Spy Kids 3D, Spy Kids 2.
I mean writing, though. Did he write those?
I don't know.
Obviously did the Beavis and Butthead movie, too. So
Airheads?
You can include that.
Mike Judge did Airheads?
He didn't write Airheads. No way.
It's in his IMDb.
Well, Beavis and Butthead are in Airheads. Remember they call the radio station?
Oh, that's right.
So maybe that's why he gets credited with it. But as far as writing movies...
Nerdland? Is that new?
What is it?
Nerdland? It says 2016.
I don't know what that is.
I have no idea.
I don't know. It's interesting, though. He really only has 4 movies or 5 movies that he did. Of course, now he's doing Silicon Valley, which is a huge critical hit.
No. Again, the same kind of humor, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he did King of the Hill, too, right?
Yeah. Yep. No, he's got a really distinctive, there's a real consistency to the sense of humor in his movies.
Stupid.
But I love stupid.
But that's what makes Silicon Valley so good, because it's so smart. There's so many smart things in there, but they're just socially stupid.
Okay, so today, a couple things to get caught up on. The Lions have won 3 in a row. I swear in the last 2 minutes, I just always think Matt Stafford can score. It doesn't matter what defense is on the field. You could put the all-pro defensive defenses on the field. You could put the Bears 85 defense on the field. I'm convinced he will roll down the field.
You really thought they were going to win that after Kirk Cousins
scored? Yes, I did.
Wow.
I just did. I just thought so. But I thought so the weeks that they didn't, too.
Because
they've needed a late score in almost every game this year.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I just didn't because you knew they needed a touchdown. And granted, like you just said, they've done it before.
Yeah, that's a lot to ask for.
But they hadn't been playing that well. They just were starting to get into a groove. because they had the two drives in a row where they scored.
Yep.
Early in the second. But the first half, they were so bad.
I know. He has a bad half every week. The offense sucks for one half.
And that was that a really tedious game?
Yes, it was.
Okay. I thought it was kind of not boring necessarily, but just...
It wasn't really... There was nothing great about watching it.
No. It seemed like they were just kind of sludging along.
Yeah, I would agree.
Although there was that cool missed field goal that doinked off the top of the field goal.
Oh, yeah.
Did that remind you of the video I was showing you where
yes,
it happened to Notre
exactly.
Dame?
Exactly. It's the first thing I thought of. Except that one, the ball went up and over.
Yeah.
So it actually went over the goalpost, but it has to be between the goalposts.
It landed on, it bounced off the very top of the goalpost, which this one wasn't as square on the top of it, but it doinked pretty hard.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how much noise it makes when the ball hits the post?
I know. It's like that microphone is at the very top of
I know.
The,
I love that
the goalpost, too.
So cool.
And, of course, the crowd goes ape, which makes you just hear this boink, and then...
I know, it's somehow more exciting than a missed field goal.
Oh,
I don't know why.
Well, because he was that much closer to it.
Yeah, true.
But it's funny. It's not like your team did anything. The guy just twinked off the...
Yeah, a field goal he should have made.
If he tried to do it again, he couldn't do it.
Not in a million years. So, yeah, you know, this is just... To me, this is the usual Lions tease at some point in the year. They show some sign of... something happening. Although I have to say, there's just no way around it. Stafford is a better quarterback than he was 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 6 years ago, 5 years ago, 2011.
Yep.
Name the year he's a better quarterback. He just is. And he's pretty damn good every week.
I say he might be like a top five quarterback right now. Maybe not five, probably seven.
I just hate not to argue with you, but I might even say top five. Top five.
He's putting together like an MVP type season.
He is. No, his numbers are phenomenal. He's got 15 touchdown passes, 4 interceptions. His quarterback rating is 106, I think, going in. I don't think he heard it today.
No turnovers, right?
Nope.
No interceptions.
Had one touchdown.
He was really off. But make no mistakes about it. This is his team, man.
Yep.
This team is going as he goes, both ways, both sides, defense and offense. He's the leader there.
But, you know, today, for being an off day for him, I think he was 21 for 33 for 266, a score, and no picks.
That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good off day.
How many pass attempts?
I think he had 33.
Because they didn't run the ball.
I think I saw that number. I hope I'm right about that.
They didn't run the ball. I'll look it up. They didn't run the ball at all, it felt like.
No, they really didn't.
Early on, I felt like they did, and Washington's got a terrible defensive line, and they give up time. I was just surprised. I expected them to run a lot more. But then again, they only have two healthy backs.
You know what's funny about our offense? Look at our running backs.
19 carries, 29 passes.
How many yards do we have in the 19 carries?
94.
4.9. Not bad at all.
Of course. Well, oh, wait a sec. We got to extrapolate. Because...
Oh, Stafford had
the 18-yarder,
right.
And then he had 32 yards total.
Okay.
But that's still not that bad. 17 for, well, yeah, it is. Never mind.
Look at the running backs we have in our stable of running backs, and then look at the draft and look at the commitments we've made fairly high in the draft for running backs over the past 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Going back to, like, Kevin Jones.
Which is a stupid thing to do because most running backs are a dime a dozen. Unless you can get somebody like Adrian Peterson or Todd Gurley or Ezekiel Elliott where you know they're going to be a home run hitter. Why would you ever draft at the end of the first round a running back or the second?
Well, we did that twice. Kevin Jones and Best.
Javid Best. Mikel LeSure.
Second round.
Still, though, way too
early. I think there's another second rounder in there, too, just recently. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
But if you want to point to something with Bob Quinn, look at where he started, you know, this time, an offensive line and building the lines out. Offensive line, defensive line, offensive line. Those are your first three picks. Which, by the way...
They benched
Laken Tomlinson, who was last year's number one overall, because Graham Glasgow played so well, and he was really good again today. I don't know. I was surprised how good Glasgow's been. I don't know why, because he was good at Michigan, too.
Well,
that helps. He had great pass protection. Granted, once again, it's Washington.
Yeah, I don't know. The offense is just, you know, Stafford can make it work almost, it seems like, no matter what. He could put some points on the board.
You know what's funny, though? I just thought about...
Front door open. What were they barking at?
A closed front door.
They must want it open. Just open the door for them.
You know what it is? I think I don't have the shades down, and so they look for the top of heads across the street, and when they see a head walk by, they just start barking, like, something to bark at. I can see it. It's walking by. There's probably a dog down below.
You're afraid their vocal cords are going to give out if they don't bark.
Oh, boy.
Enough times throughout the day.
They get fired up.
They do.
About home security.
Drew, as good as Matthew Stafford has been these last 3 days, or three games,
yeah.
Was he outplayed by Kirk Cousins today? Did Cousins have a better
That's day? A good question.
Stat-wise, he did.
What were Cousins' numbers?
He had really good numbers.
I thought he had a good day. They kind of
30 for 39, 301 yards and a touchdown.
They're very similar. He had more pass attempts.
Yep. Now, the Rams, Case Keenum, 27 of 32, 321, three touchdowns. Of course, he had the interception at the end. Stafford had four touchdowns, 23 of 31. It's funny. As good as he's played, it seems like the other quarterback has been... better.
Well, but that's about our defense.
True. Well, Brian Hoyer outplayed him in Chicago.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, he had more yards, passed more, though. Stafford, three touchdowns. Wentz had two touchdowns to one. I don't know. It's just kind of an interesting thing to point out.
I know, and yet, because Stafford is like the number, I think, three or four quarterback in the league. It's not like everyone's playing better, even though they play better, a little better against him.
But that kind of doesn't that give you
but
pause?
He's been clutch.
Doesn't that give you pause though, for how they're going to be the rest of the year?
Oh yeah, no, I'm not going to get worked up about the Lions. I just don't anymore.
Game and a half out of first place. It's the Vikings, you know,
they can make the playoffs.
They have to go to Houston and then to Minnesota before the bye week, so they very well could be 4-5 into that bye.
Yeah, it's really funny. I just am not getting worked up about the Lions. I mean, I've felt this way for a long time, but for some reason this year, it's like I've just been saying forever, you know, when they get there and do it, you know, I'll be excited, but they've been such a drag for so long, I just cannot get excited about the Lions.
What's
I'm sure a lot of Tiger fans felt that way, although when the Tigers came out and started winning, they just, bam, went right to the World Series.
What's it going to take to get you excited? For Lions, like what would the record have to be?
I'd say if they get to like 7-3.
7-3?
8-4?
Three straight?
Well, they've won three straight, so that would be
six straight.
Okay, 7-4, 8-5. That'd be pretty damn good after a 1-3 start. That'd be damn good. Yeah, that'd be 7 out of 9.
I gotta tell you, they could be 8-5.
I'm not putting it past them because I just believe.
They're gonna
like I said today, they've been in every game, and so many games come down to, you know, the last drive or two or whoever scores last. And this guy, if you give him 50 seconds, he will put points on the board. There's a pretty good chance. If you give him 50 seconds, he can get 3. If you give him a minute 20, I think he can get 7 almost every time.
I'm just looking
24, at 24 fourth quarter comebacks now.
I know.
I mean, he's up there for guys in this stretch of road. He's played 100 games and 24 times.
So you think that stat's a little misleading?
Yeah, it is.
Because if he would have played better earlier in the game?
In his case, yeah, it is rather misleading. If you take Brady's probably playing well the entire game, and he just happens to have to require a comeback.
It's a little circumstantial. You know, not every quarterback gets the opportunity.
But Stafford is playing better all the time.
No, I'm not trying to crap on him. He's been great this year.
But that number's a little weird. I agree.
It's just a fun stat. I don't know what it really means.
Starting to mean more, I think.
Yeah. Well, he's been great in the red zone.
Yeah, he has. No, I mean, I used to.
And I gotta apologize to you. This Anquan Boldin signing looks really damn good now, and I just kind of laughed it off.
It's funny. I tweeted that out today. I said,
"Did you?"
Because when they acquired him, I just heard a lot of people going, "What do you need him for?" And so it was a pretty common response. And I thought, "Well, God, he caught 69 balls last year. What's wrong?" And he's just a solid guy.
Well,
and
he's doing a good job. He doesn't need to be the guy and not have an Ebron there. I'd rather see him on the field than Ebron.
Oh, definitely.
Once again, three straight wins, three straight games without Ebron. We just put him on IR now. That'd be great. They just put him on injury reserve for bad luck
for
charm,
being a jinx,
for being a dick.
A dick, yeah. You know, he is a lot of. There's a lot of shitty things about him, and a lot of it's his personality.
Yeah, yeah. He rubs people the wrong way,
and Well, he's not a good blocker. He drops balls.
He's a terrible blocker.
He doesn't. But I really feel like his personality is the reason I wouldn't have drafted him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And why didn't they know about his personality when they drafted him? Or did they know that?
I bet you Mayhew liked it. I bet you he liked that personality.
I don't know. It seems to me, because he refuses to hide his personality, it's impossible not to find out that he's somewhat afflicted in that area.
Yeah, this is what's funny. He's got like the same personality as Odell Beckham, who was in that draft, who they didn't take. And yet he hasn't produced a quarter of what Beckham has produced.
No.
He's got his attitude with no production.
Yeah, so I don't think you can, you know, you can't expect to have a winning locker room and not have one asshole in the room.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
not saying that he's
53
the asshole.
Guys, you're always going to have.
Yeah, every Super Bowl team has a couple of real jackasses on it, no mm-hmm. question. It's just a matter of will the personality the rest of the room has be able to squash, you know, that and not allow that to fester and become a problem. In his case, I think he has not been a plus in any way, shape, or form since he's been here.
No, no. And the rest of that offense seems, I mean, I don't know them, but they seem like good guys, right?
Yeah, I think there's some
Golden Tate's a good dude. I mean,
yeah, I think so.
He has stirred up the pot a time or two, though, but I think overall he gets it.
I like him.
He's pretty, pretty vocal, but pretty honest.
Bolden seems solid, rock solid, always has
Marvin
been.
Jones
Marvin
does.
Jones is okay.
Theo's awesome.
Theo's great. Rennick is a cool guy. I think Rennick's they've kept it's that's why I'm laughing about their backs.
Yeah.
Here's a guy, the seventh round draft pick, you know, this slow dude, this plodding, somehow gets the job done guy who just had an good exhibition season. Everybody mm-hmm. said, wow, wouldn't it be cool if they kept this guy? And sure enough, they did. But he's a real smart guy, got a lot going for him. And then, what is it, Fawcett?
Forsett, former Raven.
Has he got anything left in the tank, maybe?
I think so.
I thought he looked pretty good today.
They used him on that drive. I think he carried it like four times on that drive and did really well.
He had some nice catches, too.
I thought the story. Well. Did you catch the story they told about him during the game?
I don't think I did.
The sideline reporter was like, I talked to Justin Forsett. He said, 2 weeks ago, it was the first time he ever watched a football game on the couch because he's been in the league forever.
How long has he been in the league?
He's an older running back.
He just had a great year, like 3 years ago.
30 or 31. Yeah, but you reach that threshold as a running back, and you're like, we can find somebody younger.
But didn't he sort of come out of nowhere and have a big year,
mm-hmm.
a bigger year? Yeah, I'm gonna play
running backs stats. In the NFL are bizarre in that regard, though. They can come out of nowhere.
That's true. There's not that much separating a great back from an average back.
It's not like the Walter Payton, Earl Campbell, Tony Dorsett 80s, where a running back would play for 8, 9, 10 years and put up, 1,200 yards every year. You know, a lot of people use two backs now. They'll mix in a third back. So anyway, the sideline reporter is talking about him, and he's talking about how he watched the game from his couch, and he's sitting there playing with his two kids, wrestling with his two kids, and then he realized, this is boring. I want to be on the field. And I just laughed at the way the story was told because it sounded
he hates
like
his kids.
He really hated being with his kids on a Sunday and that he wanted to go play football. he sounded like a teenager babysitting some kids. Like, I want to go play football instead. I want to babysit these kids. It's just a really funny story.
You know, he had his numbers are pretty good when he wasn't playing as much with Seattle the first 3 years.
Yeah.
He was averaging, about 5 yards a carry. But he was getting 600, 500, 370 yards. Then 2013 with Jacksonville, he barely gets the ball six times. Then Baltimore picks him up, and he gains 1,266 yards.
Mm-hmm. How old is
catches,
he?
Catches, wait. And he caught receiving, caught 44 balls that year. He's 31.
Yeah, he's at that age. He's just old.
But I thought he looked pretty good.
Uh-huh.
But thinking about all the backs we've drafted, and look who's on the field today.
Yeah.
Forsett and Rennick.
He has had a history of injuries. Now, do you remember how Justin Forsett fits into the lore of Lions history?
How is that?
He's the one that had the run on Thanksgiving Day for the Texans.
Oh!
Where Jim Schwartz and Fleck.
Wait.
I believe that was Forsett, wasn't it?
Was that for the Texans?
Yeah, wasn't he? Look, do you have his stats?
Seattle, Houston?
There you go, yeah.
Long run that year, 81 yards.
That's it. There it is. That's how he fits into
wow.
Detroit Lions history.
Son of a bitch. He gained 374 yards all year and 81 in one run against the Lions.
Perfectly stupid.
One. That's like seriously 20%. Lions. 20% of his output that year is in one run against the Lions.
And it didn't count. That's the best part.
Wait, but I thought it did count because he threw the...
No, it counted, but okay, it shouldn't have counted because he was down.
Right.
He was so clear. Everybody in the stands knew he was down. It was the clearest review, which, you know, the Lions are really burnt by a dumb rule.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the dumbest rules I've ever heard of in any sport.
And they've changed it since then, so everything, yeah.
Hey, this is...
Lions, don't ever change.
No, don't you go changing. Who are we playing next week?
They're at Houston.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Which is very winnable.
Yeah, they can win that game. They can beat almost any. I think they can beat almost anyone any day. They can also almost lose to anyone.
Well, that's what the NFL wants, man.
Yep. I guess they're perfect. They're a perfect franchise. Hey, what was going on with the cyber attacks on Friday? Was Facebook hit, too? Was that what happened
Twitter,
to our
Twitter
Facebook?
Was it Facebook, too? I didn't think
well,
Facebook
Joey,
was. Twitter,
Joey was livid
Netflix.
Because he said our likes were invisible on Facebook.
Yeah,
our page was strange, and he was looking at other pages, and they were strange, too.
Yeah.
So was that part of that?
That could have just been Facebook dicking around.
Yeah. They change the layout of the homepage frequently.
Okay.
And there's not a lot you can do about it.
So where are our likes?
They're still there. Actually, I looked it up today, and they're back, so they must have just
how
been
many?
Changing the, over 7,500.
Oh, okay, good. Joey was livid.
I know, he was very angry. And it's weird, because there's nothing anybody in the room could have done about it.
No, I know.
Which he gets. Joey's very quick to anger.
We're
that's what I love about him.
We're 35 people away from 5,000 followers on Twitter, too.
Oh.
Let me see, I'll double check.
Why don't you just buy some? Like people do, just buy some.
I would never do that.
What?
That is so stupid.
Why not?
Because I'm not.
It sounds like a good way to spend money.
I don't know. I'd rather know I had less and try to figure out why than just buy more. So people go, hey, look how many Twitter followers he has.
Yeah, no, of course.
And honestly, we're doing, I remember how long it took to get to 5,000 when we were doing it at the sports station, and I wasn't very active when we first started, but it took quite a while to get to 5,000.
Well,
we
promote it more. What's the Twitter handle?
Drew and Mike Podcast.
Yeah.
It's at Drew Mike Podcast.
Yeah.
At Drew Mike Podcast. And the Facebook page, Joey's just livid because we have, you know, we'll have 20,000 people will be reached by something.
Yeah.
And we have 7,500 likes. And he's like, why don't these people like our page? Why don't they like our page? Not like, why don't they like our pages? And what's wrong with our page? It's like, why don't they just push the like button?
Yeah. Well, how many times? Joe, if you're listening, Joe, which you're probably not. But if you saw another video that maybe came from Channel 2's page that one of your friends put up there, that means it reached you. Did you go like their page? I mean, that's possible, right?
I guess. It's funny because he brought up my sister twice, and I told my sister, and she said, I already liked your page. And then she went back to make sure, and she said, yeah, I already liked it. He claims she didn't like the page. I don't know why.
That's far out. That's funny.
Is Rosie still on our Facebook page all the time?
I don't know. I don't know if she.
I think she
not.
Became sensitive about my comment.
I don't know.
She not want to be imaged as being on our Facebook page all the time. Did she think that was not good imaging?
Let's see what's on her Facebook page.
Can you check our page, Jay, and see if she's there like an hour ago?
See the last
time. Almost
I'm
always
on.
The case. Every time I go to Facebook page, Rosie's been there within 2 hours. I thought it was kind of cute.
I know, but do you really want your mom on Facebook all the time?
Not on our page.
Well, I don't want my mom on Facebook anyway.
You don't want your mom on Facebook?
No, Facebook's terrible.
What is she not being...
Social media is just terrible.
Does that mean she's not being maternal enough?
Mom, get off Facebook!
She was on 26 minutes ago.
She was? What are you doing?
No. She's become mutual friends with my sister.
Uh-oh.
Because I think my sister is headed Rosie's way.
Oh, okay.
She's getting over-involved in our Facebook page.
It's okay.
That's no, fine. No, she's not becoming like your mom.
Why not?
Because she has too much to do. I'm just kidding. No, I think it's great that your mom's on the page. What's wrong with her being on the page? I just always notice her because she's your mom.
I don't know. She reposted the story that Armani did, so I'm sure we can hit that demo the way the mom demo. Oh, mommy.
So this Cyber Attack Friday was Twitter and...
I thought Netflix was part of it.
Netflix.
There was a funny tweet I saw, I think last time. Didn't Netflix get hit maybe 2 weeks ago on a Saturday and people were all up in arms because they couldn't watch Netflix on a weekend?
Yeah.
Well, that does suck.
And so, they tweet about it just to give updates. That's the one good thing about Twitter is that company can give updates because Twitter's usually up for the most part, except for, last Friday. But someone tweeted out, did you try power cycling it? Which means unplugging it and waiting while I'm plugging it back in. Just the idea of this massive corporation, Netflix, has to unplug it and plug it back in. Which is everybody's solution.
Well, it works a good percentage of the time.
Yeah. I don't know why, but it does.
I cannot believe what I did Friday night, by the way. I texted Jay because I was so upset. I was thinking I was going to ask Jay for help.
Uh-oh.
I was sleepwalking Friday night.
Oh, fuck.
And I wake up to this loud noise. It's me dropping my TV.
What?
Yeah, I was sleepwalking. I picked up my TV. I was like, listen
to my
TV.
Which TV?
The big screen in the living room.
Oh, my God.
The big giant screen, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And the noise was like it hitting the table it's on, and it woke me up, and I'm like, I'm holding my TV. What's going on? And I
did you think you shrunk and you were holding your iPad?
I don't know what the hell.
Whoa, I got a 57-inch iPad.
What a concept. That's hilarious. Anyway, I lifted it up and set it back down. It was like, what the fuck did I just do? And I looked behind and I'm like, oh my God. Apparently I pulled out, stuff was unplugged all over the place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm like, fuck.
Wow, what a, God, I'd love to know what that dream was about.
I have no
TV
idea.
TV off the wall.
Isn't that weird? I did that with the coffee machine, too. I just, had the coffee machine in my arms when I woke up. What am I doing? And I dropped it, of course, broke it.
Knives, anything that could hurt you, get them out of here.
TV and coffee, things are near and dear to him.
I know.
You know,
so
he's cradling up.
Great point, Jay.
Wow, that's got to be something to that. What is more important to me than TV and coffee?
So did you have to call Jay to come fix the TV?
Well, I was just warning him that I might need him, but I went back there with the flashlight and just started plugging stuff in, and fortunately I guess I plugged everything in the right place. Actually, I cheated. I looked at the... See, I've got a stereo involved and speakers, so
yeah,
it's
same way. It's just kind of the antiquated way of doing things.
Yeah, I almost just... prefer I just take the speakers for fuck the speakers. Let's just set it up so it's easy.
Yeah. Well, they're getting easier now.
So I cannot tell you how excited I was when I turned my TV on. I cannot tell you the joy I felt. It was like Christmas with my small quadruplets. That's what I would compare. If anybody has quadruplets, the joy you experienced. Well, no, when they were born,
yeah.
I would say is the joy I experienced when my TV was back plugged in again and everything was at one. My life was back where it belongs.
I think it's more like if a child was hurt or injured and then it turns out they're A-OK and they're fine. A sense of relief, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't ask you about this, but you probably don't even know, but you butt dialed Julie the other day.
I did?
Yeah. We're at home and I'm like, your phone's ringing. She gets it. She goes, it's Drew. And
what time?
I go, I bet you it's not really Drew. I think it was before I was on my way over here. So it might have been like four in the afternoon. I don't remember. And then, so you butt dialed it. And she hands it to me. Like, if you need to call me, you would call my phone. I'm not going to answer her phone. And it went, and you left a message, and it just sounded like for like 40 seconds.
Your cell phone blows.
Wow.
There wasn't any in there?
No. Yeah, Drew dialed Julie to leave a fart on a voicemail.
I used to do a lot of butt dialing. I'm not aware if I've been doing it lately. That's the first one I've heard of in a while.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to with the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fortunately.
You got to enter your password. And
speaking of Netflix and all that, when you go to Netflix, by the way,
mm-hmm.
how much time do you spend trying to decide what to do in Netflix, like what to watch?
Oh, you know what? I only go there if I know I'm going to watch something.
Oh, wow.
If I hunt around, I'm usually...
So sensible.
Well, I just have so much crap on my DVR that I haven't caught up on.
You know, I do too, but I still love Netflix, and I love that there's so many options, and there's shows that I'm thinking about watching. And, of course, if I go into documentaries, then there's 100 new options.
You're going to be there all day, yeah.
Last night I must have previewed 20 documentaries.
Oh, what ones?
No.
Did you watch any of them?
I didn't. I was trying to find something better than 48 Hours. I don't know why.
Because
I was excited about watching 48 Hours. I love 48 Hours, but it's like, what if there's a better documentary on Netflix that I can watch? And I went in, I started preview, watching it. And no, that didn't look that interesting.
What about the 13th? I heard that was really good.
The what?
13th, about the 13th Amendment.
Oh, the...
it got good reviews.
There's a documentary on that?
Might be a little too heavy.
I didn't see it in there. That probably wouldn't be one I would watch, but I'm usually going for for the music ones, or True Crime. Yeah. And there's one on The Damned, the band The Damned, that looked interesting. There's an Eminem documentary. There's a million Beatles ones, and there's nothing I'm going to learn on any of those, so that's less likely.
What's the Eminem documentary?
I don't know.
Just think if it was any good, it would be better known, right?
Yeah, probably.
Was it done by the guy that did the Bob Dylan documentary and the anti-Obama documentaries?
Oh, God.
That dope.
Oh!
That guy's name? I can't even remember.
The Rascal from Highway 61 Revisited.
Yeah, the lead singer.
Stupid band.
Joining us now from the band Highway 61 Revisited on the Alex Jones Show.
Oh, there's a Slash documentary.
Oh,
looks
cool.
Like it might be good. I think it's...
Did he participate? I mean, you want these guys to participate in them, right?
I don't know that he did. But you know what? If you like the participatory kind, Duff has one out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and this one is...
His book was awesome. Remember his book?
Yeah, yeah. He had a really good book. He's got a few books out there. He churns stuff out, and this documentary is a little churned, if you ask me. Because, this is weird. This documentary is, okay, Duff is on stage with a band, and they're playing music like a soundtrack, basically, as he describes stuff like from his life, sort of like his own documentary, like he's narrating it.
That's weird.
I know, it was weird, and I didn't really care for it, because how much can you really get from...
It sounds very distracting.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of stupid. First of all, I'm thinking, like, who are these people in the band? I mean, don't they have anything better to do than write a soundtrack for Duff?
Apparently not.
Yeah, I guess not.
You're talking about Joel Gilbert.
That's right. Yeah, that's right, my buddy Joel Gilbert.
Since you're talking about Netflix, though, what do you think about the AT&T Time
Warner? Oh, the merger?
Yeah.
Trump's going to stop it, he said.
Why?
Too many conglomerates. Which doesn't sound like a very Republican thing to do.
Not at all.
What is it, an $80 billion? $85 billion.
$85 billion.
$85 billion. So what then? Is another company going to buy Fox? Because since Universal, Comcast, and NBC are all the same, now you have Time Warner.
Well, that's a wild-looking diagram in that story, Jay. Did you see that?
Yeah. What is it?
It looks like the back of my TV after I carry it around for a few minutes. It's
just showing how AT&T came together.
Yeah, and the assets they own and how they got them.
Yeah.
A lot of arrows. And
think of all those properties they just picked up, though.
Yeah.
I mean, telecoms are only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, you want more competition, though, right? I got to say, cell phone competition has been one of the best things for consumers in general.
Oh, yeah. What's always good?
As many options as there are.
Hey, since we were talking about Netflix, that reminded me, there's a story today about Detroit-centric music documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually thought it was pretty good because they covered some of the best stuff. Of course, the Louder Than Love about the Grandy Ballroom.
Yeah. It's Tony D'Annunzio's, right?
Yeah, then, D'Annunzio. Yeah. And we talked to Tony. That's gotten a lot of activity. That was PBS played that. The MC5, True Testimonial.
Are you trying to you're trying to talk to Siri right now, by the way?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You're leaning on her. Tell her to fuck off.
Fuck off, Siri.
I hope we can still be friends.
Aw.
I think so.
That's funny. That's what I said to Charlie when he told me to fuck off.
You fucker!
I know what you mean by, I think so.
She doesn't know what I mean by I think so. How about a web search for it?
Oh, all right.
That's, are you okay?
Quite the tangent, Siri.
Siri, sometimes you're so clueless.
Who, me?
Oh, now she's being
a... Who the fuck else am I talking to? I said Siri.
There's no need for that.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Ooh!
Ooh!
God. Yeah, Louder Than Love, the Granny Bomb. Then there's MC5, A True Testimonial. That is the awesome documentary they did in 2002. Mm-hmm. It's available on bootleg, which is where I got it. And it is killer. And I think I mentioned this because one of the guys in the band was a film student.
Oh, really?
In high school. He was into film, and I think he'd taken a film class. And so he filmed a lot of their stuff, and he saved this stuff. And when that documentary came together, they had all kinds of footage from their early days. But Wayne Kramer sued over something regarding, so it's been stuck in court for like 10 years now.
Why'd he sue?
Let's see. He sued over credit and copyright issues. What else? But they had all kinds of money to promote this thing and also to pay for the, that's weird, wait, for licensing music. Why would they have to pay to license their own music?
Maybe they don't own it.
Oh, my God, how stupid. Anyway, the lawsuit, the Wayne Kramer lawsuit, drained all their funds for music licensing.
Oh, wow.
So the thing is just stuck in Nowhereville, in limbo.
Oh, great.
But I'm telling you, it is a great documentary if you can get a hold of it. Standing in the Shadows of Motown, of course, the Funk Brothers.
Famous one, right? Yeah.
That is a great, great documentary. God, those guys were so good. And I love the way
played
they did that.
Everything, too.
Oh, God, so many hits. And then Searching for Sugar Man, I think most people have seen that. That's a great one. Have you seen the...
Hey, didn't somebody search for him again? I haven't heard anything out of Sugar Man.
Not really. Sugar Man, yeah, doing? Maybe we better start and ignite a new search.
Search for Sugar Man Part 2.
Have you seen a band called Death?
No, you've told me about it, though, yeah.
It showed up on my Comcast On Demand. Yeah. It's in their repertoire. It's in their choices now. And that is a really cool documentary about these two brothers and a third guy. I think it was two brothers and a third guy who started this real punky-sounding band. They're black guys, too. Yeah. And so that's the thing that was so weird. It's like this black kind of punky, garagey-sounding rock band? What is that? And they, because their name was Death, they kept getting shut down from record deals. People go, yeah, if you change your name. They go, no, we're not changing our name. Like, okay, no deal.
Death, what?
And they had Clive Davis wanted to sign him. This is like late 70s, early 80s.
Weren't the Grateful Dead around? I mean, there's other bands with questionable names. I would
Death
think,
was
right?
just too...
Sounds like a weak excuse for them not wanting to sign them.
I don't know. Judging from what people say about the music now, it seems like it had to be... Whoa, it sure wasn't the
good.
Music. I mean, nobody seems to be able to figure out what else it could have been. Anyway, they... the main guy who's really the driving force in the band died. And so somebody just stumbled onto some of their 45s. They actually had a couple 45s printed back in 77, 78. And these 45s started getting around, and people really liked them. And, oh, there's one of them. Yeah. And they became very valuable on the, you know, that whatever the secondary market is for, you know, vinyl music. It just, I don't know, I guess because of the quality, and it was rare and it was good. And then the kids of the three band members actually put together a band to play the music.
Was it called Life After Death?
Should have been. And these guys played shows all over the place. I don't know how they're doing. Is there anything on that online, Jay, in that story you're looking at?
I was just looking
at it. It's a cool story. The documentary is really cool, though.
One of the producers was Turtle from Entourage.
What, really?
Yeah, he probably must have put his money up for it.
No shit.
Yeah.
But the reason they brought this, they wrote this whole story today about these Detroit-centric documentaries is because the Iggy Pop one is coming out about the Stooges.
Yeah.
And in fact, that is the Royal Oak Music Theater is playing that on Wednesday night. I'd love to see that. Let's see.
Let's go.
I got to find out what time that thing is. Iggy Pop is the main storyteller. The film traces the Michigan band's topsy-turvy life from the rise on the Ann Arbor-Detroit scene in the late 60s through the messy 73 dissolution and to its triumphant reunion in the 2000s. That was kind of cool. The Stooges got to play a couple tours after 2000 and make some money because they never made any money. I mean, for as influential as the Stooges were, had a very... It was, you know, for making three albums and being a band, so many people talk about. In terms
they were
of
never
influence.
A critical hit, though, right?
They were a critical hit. They never sold any records, though.
Yeah.
They just were, you know, kind of like Big Star, but better known. Because people knew them and really appreciated them at the time, but they just never became the large. I don't think they ever played for big audiences. You know, they're more like a CBGB band. But anyway, you know, with Iggy's solo career sort of adding on top of that, and then, you know, Iggy became a pretty solid touring act over the years. You know, played with Bowie.
Yeah.
Those two records he did with Bowie were considered pretty excellent. And so anyway, there's a lot of excitement about this documentary. I think a lot of it is because Iggy is involved.
Is it called Gimme Danger?
Yeah, Gimme Danger. Okay. And Gimme Danger opens Friday, hour and 48 minutes. I don't know where it's playing around here, though, other than they said a Wednesday screening in Royal Oak.
Well, maybe it'll be on demand before you know it.
I'm sure it will. With the film hitting theaters nationwide on Friday, it'll be a busy week for Iggy, including an event tonight with Don Was. By the time people hear that, that's over. And then a screening Tuesday night at the Detroit Film Theater. And then somewhere I saw it's being shown Wednesday. Where did I, Drew, where did you see that, you ass? maybe I
What's
dreamed
that?
It.
The DIA, did you mention?
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I was just, that's what I was just on Tuesday, right?
This one doesn't say the date. October 25th, yeah, Tuesday.
Okay. Also, there's a Marvin Gaye documentary coming out. Isn't it way
really?
Beyond time for that?
Yeah.
I mean, because
what
a
fascinating life.
Yeah, my God. And the end, you know, I want to know about the end. What the fuck happened there with old man Gaye, his cross-dressing father?
What's that one called? When's that one come out?
Marvin, What's Going On? Marvin Gaye's family is backing this upcoming documentary feature about the late Motown star 71 masterwork, What's Going On? Oh, it's about the album. Fuck.
What? Yes.
Fuck that.
Well, no wonder. Boring.
Come on. What about the end?
Gaze.
His father killed him.
Come on, Gaze.
He was, my understanding of the last months of his life was he was living in a room at his parents' house, snorting cocaine nonstop and watching porn.
All right. Well, he deserved it. He deserved some downtime. Yeah, you know, he had a busy life, right?
Yes, he did. And why don't we just throw in today in rock and roll, since we're on it a little bit. Today is October 23rd. Stevie Wonder recorded for the first time at Motown on this day in 1962. Bob Dylan recorded The Times They Are Changing on this day in 1963. In an effort, he actually was trying to write an anthem, which is usually when people write anthems, they're not trying to, but he actually was for some strange reason. You're going to hate this one from 1964, Mark. What? October 23rd, J. Frank Wilson and Stanley Rausch, producer of their hit song "Last Kiss," we're in a head-on car accident, which killed the producer Stanley Rausch. Injured J. Frank Wilson. And the interesting thing is, this accident, which occurred in Lima, Ohio, was during a week when that song was in the top 10.
Yeah, that's what I said. It didn't help that song take off.
Probably did.
Yeah,
but I know you hate the song because
Pearl Jam always plays it.
Yeah,
it's
and
not my favorite Pearl Jam song.
It's also one of Pearl Jam's biggest hits, isn't it?
I think it is their highest charting hit.
Wasn't it a number one hit?
You know what? I don't know. Let me look that up.
I know it's a top 10 hit at least.
Definitely top 10. But it's just not their best stuff. It's not even their song.
I totally agree. I don't know. I don't even know why they covered it. It doesn't even sound like a song they would cover.
No. I kind of like this version actually better because you can hear the times.
Yeah, definitely.
It's almost cheesy in a way. Well, plus they don't. It's not played at every concert I go to.
What other 45s have they had? Or, I mean, singles has Pearl Jam put out?
More than you would think, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, which
like
what are
for just on special compilations and whatnot?
What's their next biggest hit after this?
Let's see. Singles, U.S. Last Kiss hit number 2.
Okay.
It was on No Boundaries, a benefit for the Kosovo refugees.
Whatever.
Their next highest charting hit on the U.S. album. I guess that's the U.S., right?
Yeah.
It has like U.S. and then U.S. main.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, mainstream rock. So the U.S. is just Hot 100.
Yeah, that would be that's the real chart.
You would not guess what the next... It's another song I absolutely hate.
What?
Spin the Black Circle charted number 18 in the Hot 100.
What? I don't like that song either.
Yeah. But like Alive and Even Flow never charted on the Hot 100. I don't know if they even existed then.
I don't think they were singles, were they?
Well, I mean, they were released as singles. Yeah. Okay. But like Even Flow was number 3 on the rock charts, but never.
Yeah, the rock charts, that's not really a...
Ugh, I just do not like this song.
1965, The Byrds' Turn, Turn, Turn is released, which would be their second number one hit. And that is adapted entirely from the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible. Except for the last line, which is...
it is?
I swear it's not too late. The whole thing, it's directly from the book of Ecclesiastes, except for the last line of the songs. Yep. Well, listen to the words. It sounds like, I mean...
So you're saying the Bible wrote some pretty good songs, man.
Might be some more number one hits in that Bible. You know what's funny is that I kind of like this song. I love the Byrds' guitars. Mm-hmm. I love their tone. Just about anything they put out, I just love the guitar work. And Roger McGuinn and David Crosby and Gene Clark, they just, what a great sound. I don't like the words of this song.
Well, I just would
not sing along to this song. A time to live, a time to die. I don't know anything about seasons.
Not a fan of Ecclesiastes.
I guess not.
For some reason, Pete Seeger gets writing credits on this too.
He's the first to adapt it.
Oh, okay.
He adapted it in 1959, and they covered him, I guess.
I guess he wrote the music.
Yeah, I suppose. Then 1966, Jimi Hendrix recorded Hey Joe, which was his first charting single.
Great song.
Reached number 6. I didn't know this. Jimi Hendrix didn't even write Hey Joe.
Really? Who wrote it?
No. It was written by somebody in
1959,
and it was covered by a couple bands before Jimmy got to it. And I can't even think of the guy's name, but he was nobody.
It was written by Joe, and it was really called Hey Me. Dumb.
1976. That's Jimmy. Jimmy. That's a cool song. Wow, it's a different version.
They don't even know who really wrote it, to tell you the truth, because it was covered so often.
It was released by another band like a year before this, before he put it out in 66.
The Leaves, but it was recorded before that by Billy Roberts.
Yeah, and then I think the guy they believe wrote it might have been even before that.
Yeah.
This is a really weird one. 1976, on October 23rd, Led Zeppelin... made their U.S. television debut on Don Kirshner's rock concert? What?
That show Zeppelin was huge, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was big, but it was a cheesy show where, you know, you'd see the Guess Who and goofy American bands, but not like a hot British band like Led Zeppelin. That's really strange. They played Black Dog and Dazed and Confused.
Weird.
Can you check YouTube for Zeppelin on Don Kirshner? I can't picture it, because usually they're playing on this cheeseball stage, too.
Didn't Paul, I can't believe I can't think of his last name, from Letterman, Paul...
Paul Schaefer?
Paul Schaefer. Didn't he play Don Kirshner on SNL?
Yes, okay. Yes, he did.
That's like my knowledge of Don Kirshner. Paul Schaefer playing him on old SNL.
He was a big rock promoter.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Sid Vicious attempts suicide while awaiting murder charges on the stand.
Wow.
78. He succeeded February 2nd, 1979. Actually, I don't think he intended to kill himself. He just... he did too much heroin that his mother had purchased for him, by the way.
Sid!
1980, Mark David Chapman quit his security job and signed out of work for the last time as John Lennon.
Whoa, heavy.
What a dick. Oh, aren't you cool? And then 1995, in this day, Def Leppard played 3 concerts on 3 continents in the same day.
What?
They played Tangiers, Africa in the morning, London in the afternoon, Vancouver in the evening.
Neat.
Aren't they cool? Anybody could do that.
Now, if that was McCartney, would you think it was cool?
I don't know. Not really. I think it was kind of stupid.
Well, it was pretty stupid when was it Phil Collins did it live?
Oh, yeah, I thought that was so dumb.
He took the Concorde.
Like, there was no one else could play drums for him.
Yeah, right.
Amy Winehouse released Rehab on this day in 2006, which would win 3 Grammys. And 2015, just a year ago today, Gordon Lightfoot was honored as a 13-foot sculpture of him was unveiled in front of fans in his hometown of Orillia, Canada.
Really?
Yes. The Lightfoot. Gordy Lightfoot on this day. I wonder how many people were there. I said hundreds of fans. I wonder if there's really like 10. His family. That's about it. I guess it's a big deal in Canada.
Yeah.
But that reminds me.
So it's kind of like, who was it that had the Megaphone press conference and there's only like 5 people there and then they panned out?
Al Sharpton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
More people there or at the Lightfoot unveiling? Probably the Lightfoot unveiling.
You have to wonder if a sound system was necessary. I think that's maybe that's how you determine if an event is of any significance. Is a sound system needed?
Was Lightfoot even there?
He was there.
He was there.
Yeah, he was.
Well, then I bet you there were a lot of people there.
Yeah, probably. It's his hometown, too. They probably made a big deal out of it.
Gordy?
Neil Young had his annual charity concert for the Bridge School.
Yeah.
And Roger Waters played, and so did Metallica, and I thought it was kind of cool. Neil Young and Roger Waters played together. They played Forever Young, and then Metallica joined Neil for Mr. Soul, which it's actually online. It sounded really good. And then they had Metallica was playing this weird set. They had a bunch of covers in there, including Clampdown by The Clash, which I couldn't the Metallica covering The Clash. How cool.
Was this over the weekend?
Yeah, I think it was just this weekend. Jay's got it up already.
It's funny, I didn't even know he was still doing the Bridge School stuff.
He does it every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's usually around this time.
I know
of
they've
year too.
Released it, you know, as albums.
Yeah, some good stuff on there.
Uh-huh. Well, thank God they have a good recording of it.
The entire Metallica set is on there somewhere. And I just was freaking out hearing them do Clampdown. I mean, one of my favorite Clash songs. And that's about it for the world of rock and roll.
You want to hear the Billy Roberts Hey Joe cut?
Yeah, why not? The original version, allegedly.
Hey Joe, where are you going with a gun in your hand?
I thought it was going to sound really hokey. It doesn't sound that bad.
Sounds like he's saying Joel.
I said, where are you going with that gun in your hand? Boy, I'm going down to shoot my old lady. You know, I caught her messing around with another man.
I've always had the expression, my old lady. It's like, what kind of a bag are you with?
I'm going down to shoot my old lady. You know, I caught her messing around with another man.
Singer doesn't sound like the kind of guy who would shoot his old lady.
Well, no, he's playing the role. Joe, isn't that what Joe's saying to him now?
I heard you shot your woman down.
Yeah.
You shot her down now.
And now he's saying, hey, Joe, I heard you shot your woman down.
He doesn't sound like he would know someone who would shoot his old lady.
He should do 2 different voices.
I heard you shot your old lady down. You shot her down.
I'm going down to shoot my old lady. Kind of like
he's not convincing. His delivery's not convincing either. He doesn't know anyone that would ever do this.
You should do 2 different voices like Cat Stevens does in Father and Son.
Father and Son. Oh, a great song. I love that song.
Oh, it's one of the best.
Yeah, that's cool how he does it.
But it's
how can I try to explain?
But it's only because he does the 2 different voices.
Yeah, but they are distinct.
They're not really voices. They're just different octaves.
Yeah.
Like he's doing a character.
It's a great concept. check out Clampdown.
Yes, this is better.
It's on acoustic too, which is, I mean, this is a really electric song. Are you a Clash fan?
I don't go very deep in them. I like them. I don't have a problem with them.
Do you consider the Clash to be important?
Oh yeah, very much so. If not for album art alone.
This didn't even sound like The Clash. I mean, the, it didn't sound like Metallica. That's a fan singing, isn't it?
While recording it, yeah. It'd be like rules when you record shit in the crowd, you know? You're going to put it on YouTube.
I've never seen, I'm having a complete brain fart, The Clash's front man. Not The Clash, though. Metallica's front man.
James Hetfield.
James
Hetfield, yeah.
James is playing a ton of acoustic guitar in this set. It's really weird.
Yeah. So is Kirk.
Yeah. What is that? Have you ever seen him play acoustic guitars before?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
But it's rare, though. You're right.
I mean, they just don't seem like the stool kind of guys.
Doesn't look like a very manly guitar either, except for James.
I think I need to hear the Clash's version.
Well, thank God this guy recorded it on his phone so we could enjoy it. We always rag people for recording.
The weird thing is, it's such a...
How many views, by the way, Jay?
6,217.
Wow, that's not bad.
It's only been up there maybe a day.
Yeah.
But I read a little bit of the story, and it said that James just always thought that was the coolest song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and when he heard it, he just had to do it. Oh, there we go. A little more electric here. I just thought The Clash, as far as the 80s, have to be one of the most important bands. I don't know who I can put ahead of them, to be honest. For me.
In the world of punk or just in general?
In terms of rock and roll, bands that emanated from that period.
For you or just in general? Like,
probably for me.
Okay.
But
did you, were you
not I'd
a
say
Sex
pretty,
Pistols fan?
They're definitely a top five. Yeah, I like Sex Pistols. Actually, that's kind of a hard question to answer. Who were the most important rock and roll acts of the 80s?
Rock acts?
Yeah.
Well, Guns N' Roses at the end. Metallica. I mean, that in there alone. Jovi. Bon Jovi. I mean, to a point. You can laugh if you want. But
sold a lot of records. Yeah, I guess because
I don't know if anybody cites them as an influence.
There's so many different directions. I mean, Prince, you know, was huge.
Yeah,
you know, through that too.
Jackson.
It's hard to nail somebody to a decade too, because the when you think of the whole punk British invasion, the second British invasion, Elvis Costello and the Jam, Paul Weller, English beat people like that, they all are like 76, 77, and they merge into the 80s. And the Clash were really before 1982, but they do. I think they were together till 85, but they lost a big band member in 83, so...
Yeah, but you had so many different things, like Billy Idol and all of those.
Yeah.
That came out that...
Oh, X, yeah. X was in the 70s, I think. Billy Idol came out of X.
I remember, I think it was before he died, you had a really good interview with Joe Strummer. I don't know, why, whenever I think of The Clash now, I think of that.
God, I love Joe Strummer.
But do you remember interviewing him?
Yeah.
I remember being good interview.
Yeah, I just thought he was the coolest guy. I mean, talk about intense. Really intense. I mean, he was the heart of the Clash, clearly.
Rosie fell Howard 2 minutes ago.
What?
Oh!
What is she doing?
You can just see that she's online, you know, her status. She's in her friend list on the side, so she's doing something a couple minutes ago.
We forgot U2, R.E.M.
Yeah, U2. R.E.M. R.E.M. is big.
One of the
huge.
Influential.
Way underrated, in my opinion.
I mean, you got Van Halen. I know they originate in the 70s.
I know there's a ton of bands that come out of the late 70s, yeah, actually.
Right.
But I think The Clash are extremely influential.
Definitely.
A lot of people
Were you a Talking Heads fan?
Yeah, I love the Talking Heads.
Did you ever watch the documentary where they perform live?
You mean the movie? The giant suit?
Oh, yeah. He's wearing the suit. Yeah. Did you watch Documentary Now a few weeks ago?
No!
They parodied it.
Oh, I gotta see that!
It's really, really funny.
It's gotta be really funny.
It's mainly Fred, though. Fred Armisen, because he's the musician.
Uh-huh.
Every time he writes a song that they use in Documentary Now, I always find myself laughing my ass off at him because they're ridiculous. They're so ridiculous.
No, I want to see that big time.
Yeah, and Maya Rudolph is in it. She's the female in the group. It was really good.
Oh, Maya Rudolph, okay. Yeah. The Tina Weymouth?
Yeah, yep.
What'd you think of SNL this weekend, by the way?
It's all right. The open was good. You know what sketch had me cracking up?
What?
The Sully Sullenberger one.
Yeah, that was good. That was funny. Definitely.
Sully Sullenberger's just an asshole because he has to be the co-pilot.
I could totally see that happening. It seems so so plausible.
He just kept trying to one-up the captain.
Yeah.
To the end where he goes, "We're going down. We're going down." Great song.
Yeah, Talking Heads for about 5 years were so fucking good. Psycho Killer, love that song.
Great song.
Also the Tom Kowalski introduction music.
Uh-huh.
How did I get there? Talk about artsy fartsy people becoming a band. All for the Rhode Island School of Design.
Mm-hmm. And that gets parodied heavily in the documentary now.
Oh, cool.
About what an artist he is. And how it's all for the art.
You see their rock and roll Hall of Fame when they got accepted, their acceptance speeches.
Oh, no.
I don't think I did, and I watch that every year.
The chick bassist made like the marathon announcement. You know, everybody else like, thank you, basically, you know, and step back. So.
Oh, Tina Weymouth hogged the microphone?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Oh, my God. We have 60 minutes on down here.
Yeah.
And I'm already annoyed by the story that's on.
Is it the agent story?
No, it's about a guy who is making money on Vine. He's Vine's biggest star.
Oh, no.
Because he makes hilarious, quote-unquote, videos for Vine.
Oh, bring it up.
Right,
you
want to
rewind it? Yeah.
Let me back it. I bet you this guy's so full of himself, too.
Oh, no. I hate all these people. I hate them.
Yeah, like...
I don't think they should be allowed to do this. I think they should be stopped. There should be a law passed. Whenever somebody gets too big for their britches on Snapchat or any of these places, laws should be passed to stop them from being on there.
They're called the influencers. Remember Nash Greer, the kid we used to watch?
Oh, yeah.
We hated.
What about Maddie B?
Maddie B.
Maddie B's book is in... Maddie B, for those of you who don't know, is a 10-year-old who... covers rap songs,
changes the lyrics to make them, you know,
child friendly.
I showed it to Charlotte like about a month ago. I think I might have told you this.
Oh, no.
Showed her Maddie B, and she's kind of interested because there were girls singing. And as soon as Maddie B started rapping, she goes, "I don't like that." And I said, "Yeah, you don't like Maddie B?" And she goes, "Dad, you like Maddie B." And then like left the room. So here I am sitting watching Maddie B. Because she declared that I am a big fan of Maddie B.
What a diss that was.
She kind of always makes these declarative statements and then walks out of the room. That's like her mic drop.
But anyway, this Maddie B thinks he is so hot. I mean, I hate this kid as much as I hated Billy Gilman when he was 10. I can't stand this brat.
Well, just, you know, at least be comforted in knowing what a turd he's going to be when he gets to where Gilman is now.
I know. Now I like Billy Gilman. He's on The Voice. He's had a lot of failure. He's humbled. He's really cool again.
He's
out of the closet gay.
He's been humbled.
It's funny. I knew he was gay before he did.
I know. He was pre-gay.
Pre-gay. Like that concept is so great.
They've been viewed billions of times.
Why? By people with no spending power.
Oh, pause for 1 second.
Oh, what a dick! I hate this guy already!
I went online to watch some Maddie B videos, just to hate watch.
Yeah.
And there he is doing these sort of romantic song videos.
Yeah.
Where there's like a little girl who's like 11, who's
exactly.
playing his love interest. And, I mean, you should see the sad faces they make, you know, because they're having problems in a relationship.
Aww.
It's so
trouble
bad.
Texting each other?
No, I don't think they show them texting each other.
I don't know what kids do.
Oh, it's so hideous.
Has he got his first pube and now he wants to move on to the next girl? First boner. No, he wants to move on.
Not yet.
Chick.
He's not ready for his testicles haven't even descended yet.
Well, he's playing a role. I'm seeing the character, not Matty B.
He thinks he's all that, but anyway.
This guy that started, he goes in front of groups of people and then does the splits. Wow. And then they're like, why is this guy doing the splits?
Yeah, like, why is he doing the splits? Because he can?
I'd be like, get out of my way, idiot.
If you find yourself dumbfounded by the notion that 21-year-old Logan Paul could become a millionaire with goofy online videos like this, then you're probably not a millennial.
It's easy. Just dance.
These no-budget, low-quality postings shot with his cell phone camera have attracted more than 30 million followers on all his platforms.
Leg out.
More than either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. They're drawn to his boyish charm and slapstick humor.
Slapstick with a sense of wit, fun, high energy.
So that's your shtick.
My shtick.
Nice
defining
yourself.
And he's turned his shtick into advertising gold, promoting products to his online followers.
Pick it up.
Man, I'm glad we're monetized, or I'd be really jealous.
Advertisers know he's reaching their most coveted demographic, young people. He's been
such
a successful pitch man. He was featured on the cover of Adweek.
The biggest companies in the world and brands have come to me to help sell their product to.
Oh, go to fucking hell to help them. Shut in on your fucking help.
Millennials, and they respond to my content.
And they pay you well for this.
Yeah.
Hello, my people of the internet. My name is Logan Paul.
He's now in such demand, he's earned the freedom to make ads the way he makes his videos, off the cuff. We watched him making a Dunkin' Donuts ad in Central Park.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
All ad-libbed, all his ideas.
And not very funny.
No. Did you just make this up on the fly?
Yeah, and like if someone has an idea, it's like, yeah, let's run with it, you know?
When he posted the ad,
wow, he's so clever.
It was viewed more than 7 million times. And Dunkin' Donuts told us this spot had the same reach as a primetime TV ad. For one day's work, Logan Paul was paid almost $200,000.
Oh, God.
Woo! I'm never going to Dunkin' Donuts.
You're worth all
ever
the money
again because
these companies
of that.
Pay you?
To be honest, I'm worth three times the amount of getting paid.
So you're a bum.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
I think anyone on the internet with eyeballs at this time and place is a bargain because it's so new. No one really knows
how to monetize
what they're
it.
Worth.
Let's make the game look like
the more followers an
yeah, like could be
has,
worth nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Make. The successful ones are an eclectic bunch, most in their mid-20s who started it.
Okay,
just
how do we
fun,
stop this person?
Like Zach King.
I kind of call myself a digital magician.
This guy's videos are actually kind of cool.
Oh, Mark.
I'm hooked. I mean, that's kind of cool, right? See, it's old.
Wait, he's leaped in that car?
Well, it's just a little.
He jump in that car door window?
Video illusions.
Just video tricks, yeah.
Binge watch.
That's Amanda cool, Cerny, no?
Yeah, that was, there's some talent to that, I agree.
Has more than 20 million followers.
All right.
Hold on, dude. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Not funny.
I posted my Snapchat video I just shot 5 minutes ago.
Oh,
and now I
know I'm
going to
hate her.
1,000 views.
One of the most
Why?
Successful is Andrew Batchelor.
You pause for one
King
second.
Batch.
The last time I saw a story like this was on MTV Real Life.
Yeah.
And the 15-year-old, this guy's like 17. He takes a picture like every hour to put it on Snapchat or whatever. And he was at dinner with his family, and he's like, can I be excused? And they're like, no, you just want to be excused to take a selfie. And he's like, I know, I haven't put one up in 2 hours. People are going to be really mad if I don't. It's like, what are you talking about? Another picture of that fuck? Who cares?
Well, maybe
people actually go online and go, oh, where's the new picture of Joey? What's going on? I haven't seen his picture in an hour.
Call the police to make sure he's okay.
What is that? Why do people need to see? It's the same guy. He looks the same way as he did 2 hours ago, 4 hours ago, 6 hours ago.
And if you hadn't been on the last 5 hours, I'm sure you could see the previous six he did in those, the first 3 hours.
Exactly.
Anyway...
They were going on and on about this guy, and he's potential to make all this money, and they were trying to get what they're trying to get to was, well, what do you do besides take selfies? And the answer was basically nothing. All he did,
and he makes money off of it.
He was trying to make money off it.
Oh.
I don't think he was being successful, but a lot of people saw his stupid selfies. Hundreds of thousands of people would go on to look at his latest selfie. He wasn't even that good looking. That's what bothered me the most.
I don't think millennials.
How hot he thought he was.
Are millennials that dumb then to buy something?
I don't know.
Buy it?
I don't know. I'm so confused.
Has more than 37 are you going to add something, Jay? Followers.
Sorry, Jay.
Rosie was on a minute ago.
Well, maybe she just, she didn't get off.
Oh, I just tried to open a chat session with her to see if
we
can.
That's a great idea, Jay.
Something to happen here.
Tell her we're recording. Ask her if she wants to say hi to Mark.
Has she ever been in a chat that you know in Facebook with anybody?
I don't think so.
I open it up with Mom. See what we get.
We'll find out if she's. Find out if she's familiar with the chat room concept.
Gross. Gross.
Of his following is from one platform. Come on, Rosie. Answer. Vine. Videos on Vine are just 6 seconds long.
What can you do in 6 seconds?
I can teach you how to cook something.
In 6 seconds?
I can, yeah.
You can make me laugh in 6 seconds.
I can make you laugh in 6 seconds. I can make you cry in 6 seconds.
Nice. In 6 seconds.
I can do it in 4.
You've just had 30 seconds and did none of that.
Okay,
show me how 6 seconds can make a star.
All right. So the movie Batman vs. Superman came out, right? It was a 90-minute movie. I'm showing you if Batman vs. Superman was real and in 6 seconds.
Superman!
I get a lot of views.
Yeah. Why the fake laugh?
How many?
A couple million?
Awkward.
Advertisers pay Batch just to place their products in his clips. He made a handful of videos wearing a Jimmy John's logo and earned more than $300,000 from the sandwich maker.
You're making money off.
Now the one thing I love about 60 Minutes is there's going to be a cold shower coming up. Right?
Yeah. I hope so.
Isn't that how it usually works? Some ad exec who points out that they're not worth shit.
Exactly.
That's a laugh of hate.
I chose the wrong line of work.
Social media.
I don't see the talent.
I don't either.
Of what the advertaising industry spends overall on ads.
Well, what about longevity? But it was enough. You think you're going to see these guys in a year, 2 years, 5 years?
Paul Kazers is an agent with CAA.
The first one, I've never thought I wanted to assassinate someone until I saw that guy.
Too much for what they do.
Is this my cold shower?
Absolutely not. There's no rock stars with a bigger audience than old Hollywood ever had a chance to access. When they take a video or a picture and push a button on their phone, immediately disseminated to millions of people.
Yeah, but there's a greater percentage of them. There's a greater number of them. Old Hollywood had less stars.
Okay, now I want to kill two people because I want to kill him for saying that.
But Kazers represents emerging stars of the tiny screen we carry in our pockets, like Logan Paul.
When Logan does a branded campaign, you can see how many millions of people have watched it.
Oh, so there's hard numbers. That's what I like.
What age they are and their demo. Furthermore, it's more than just the views. You can see their engagement. People are continuing to talk about a video afterwards, and they're sharing. I don't know how you could even put a price on that.
Because of the internet, Logan Paul has a worldwide reach.
Wait, we got is a he being interviewed while on a Segway?
When we went for a stroll
on a
Hollywood Boulevard.
He is. He's on a hoverboard.
What's your name? Juliette. Are you guys French?
Yes.
Nice.
You know who he is in France?
Oh, no way.
He's a star in France.
All right.
In just 20 minutes, visitors from Kuwait, Israel, Mexico,
there's a camera filming him. They don't know who he is.
Where are we from?
I'm from Mongolia.
Mongolia?
Yeah.
Right? There's a camera crew following him. That's why he's in the middle of Hollywood. That's why people want to take pictures of him.
If those people know who he is, they need to do something better with their time.
Oh, look how good she looks.
She has attracted more than 160 million followers by exposing
her
life.
Jay, she looks good there. You don't think she looks good?
By minute online.
No. I think Kim is way hot. I have to admit it.
Sorry.
I wish she'd go away, but she's hot.
Empty head.
Robbed her at gunpoint of a reported $10 million in jewelry.
If there's HuffPuzzler, I have to say one thing. If there's one thing that makes me happy about the aging process, it's that she has to go through it.
I know. Ooh, it's going to hit her hard.
It's going to be painful. Oh!
They just had that shot of her and Kanye walking to their Porsche, right?
Yeah.
Why is there a velvet rope behind the Porsche? Like 2 inches off the Porsche.
Because it's Kanye's Porsche.
But, well, and what, so people can't touch it?
They can't get that close to it.
Look how close it is to it.
They have to go outside.
It's a foot away.
Well, it's a foot that you have to stay back from their car.
There's no one there.
If anybody else's Porsche, you could go up and touch it.
investigate.
So this is the cold shower, just that she got robbed?
Before the robbery, she told us that being so public is what helped make her so popular.
Yeah, your sex
and
tape.
And wealthy.
There are pitfalls. Lack of privacy. Loss of privacy. And that might, that's not for everyone.
That's a pitfall.
Yeah, people seeing how stupid
me,
you are.
I can handle it.
You're famous worldwide. Would that famous Kim Kardashian exist without social media?
No.
Not in this way. I totally attribute my career to social media.
Career?
I have read that you have figured out how to monetize just the act of living.
I guess so, yeah.
Do you think Bill Whitaker, the reporter here, watched her sex tape as research or as interview?
Sure. He should.
She posts pictures and gets paid for clothes she wears, products she uses, brands she endorses.
We've been talking to a number of
people. Talking about Kardashian makes me think of the news anchors that are making fun of the Kardashians way back then. We'll watch it.
Oh.
It's pretty good.
Do comedy, they dance, they sing.
Yes.
But they don't really do it that well.
It is a talent to have a brand that's really successful off of getting people to like you for you.
You've turned
It's not a talent. No.
Worth in excess of $100 million, I've read.
So I would think that has to involve some kind of talent.
She's as dumbfounded as any of us.
Gary Vaynerchuk is searching for the next Kim Kardashian.
She's monetized being extremely fuckable is what she's done.
You're right. And her sisters, all of them.
If she was ugly, does she really think people would watch that stupid show?
No, it's the sex tape.
Well, that too.
Hey, brother.
Monetizing his social media presence.
As long as you guys find the right cadence, as long as you don't make it a complete
cadence, what a stupid buzzword.
You will win.
Right.
How do you develop a following?
It starts with, are you good enough? Are you pretty enough? Model? Are you funny enough? Comedy?
Some it factor.
Some it factor. The person that's the 18,400.
No, this is ridiculous. You can throw a billion, you can throw thousands of people on that platform, and whatever one takes off, takes off. It's not that hard to find the next big one.
Make $100,000 a year making skits on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Snapchat and Twitter.
$100,000 a year.
That's right. Break it down.
And that might be why 25,000 people showed up last spring at the online video industry's annual convention in Anaheim. It's where teens and
everybody's filming everything,
hoping to learn to become the next Kim Kardashian or Logan Paul or perhaps Baby Ariel.
Who?
13 million followers apparently like watching the 15-year-old.
Boy, what a terrible loss if a bomb dropped on that thing.
On an app called Musical. Just gonna stand there and watch me burn. She pitches candy and has her own line of lipstick.
What does she do?
And three bodyguards to hold off her fans.
Oh, come on!
But today,
to push little kids away.
Oh,
he is! That guy pushed a little kid away!
He did!
She tried taking a picture of selfie with him.
It was hilarious.
During the time of this episode airing, four new influencers popped up making their first video ever. Maybe 40, maybe 400. So the market
is creeping
quite
me out.
Wide. It's just who's going to win the depth game and be the best at it.
It's a worldwide popularity contest conducted minute by minute. One sign of just how popular influencers have become. They've caught the eye of the Federal Trade Commission.
Oh, sweet. Here's our cold shower. Oh,
that influencers make absolutely clear when one of their postings is an ad.
Oh, yeah.
The influencers told us government watchdogs are not going to slow this business down. Kim Kardashian had a setback when she was robbed. But like the other influencers, she's banking on the future of social
media.
Wait,
someone just came and played with her hair.
Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know.
In my situation and my lifestyle have been more beneficial than the negative things.
And the money's not bad.
Not bad.
God, that was not the ending I wanted.
Well, you know, you wanted a bomb to drop.
I wanted to see. After we filmed this,
they all
a
went
terrorist
broke.
Group dropped a bomb on this convention, and everyone was killed.
I can't believe there's a security guard pushing aside a 9-year-old girl.
That fucking kid doesn't need one security guard! Three security guards for that little putz.
Oh,
insanely stupid. What's this video, Jay?
This is years ago, but the two of the Kardashians were plugging some clothing line, the Kardashian collection over here. And these news anchors are interviewing them, and then, you know, they're, you'll see. Watch this.
You know, venging out in bed. You can just shop online.
I can veg out something fabulous. So, yeah. Congratulations to both of you. I can't wait to see where this train takes you guys, because right now things are, I know, fantastic for you. So thank you so much. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Nice.
Can they still hear us?
No. The whole time he's I think it's hot. I mean, I want to put. Can I have some cotton balls or something? I want to push mine up. Why don't you?
Oh, the shoulder, bring fun of the shoulder pads.
Can they hear that?
I love them. I think they're stunning.
I'm just waiting to see if they were clear.
Stare at their makeup. I think they're fantastic. All right, now we have to go back to.
Is this live on the air? Is
yeah,
this
yeah. They did that, yeah. They did on their newscast.
Oh, wow.
That's a local show in Philly, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, they were the ones that they were making fun of Ryan Lochte.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Philly's tough, man.
It's a local show.
8:31, Olympic swimmer, not as a hottie, Ryan Lochte is pretty busy these days.
Yeah, this is a long interview, though.
During the 2012 Olympics. He's training for Rio, working on a fashion line, and guest starring, yes, on shows like that.
What?
Not to mention being featured in People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive issue.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, you can see him on his new reality series, What Would Ryan Lochte Do?
It's
on E! Entertainment Television. Check it out.
Bathroom.
So right, he's not going separate over the those area.
Anyway, well, I look forward to watching What Would Ryan Do.
He's into water sports, but that's ridiculous. Okay, Ryan, good luck to you.
Water we'll sports, watching. What like peeing on people?
He's waving goodbye. They're both just laughing. That was a picture of him in a Speedo. Pose.
Oh yeah, I can't do it. I can't.
Seriously. How are they going to get enough material?
For What Would Ryan Do?
What was the question that stumped him?
What a woman could say.
Oh,
what a woman can say.
I would bet I guess anything.
Impresses him.
No, it's just a woman couldn't say anything.
I would bet that the publicist for E! Doesn't put anybody else on their show anymore, and they probably don't care. Because those are both E people.
I'm sure they don't
care. The Kardashians in that Lochte show.
As long as they're on. Oh, that I can't get past that turd doing the Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
I know. I kind of want to watch his Vines to make fun of him, but I don't want to give him any more hits since that guy's got a boner over all the metrics.
Oh, God. Come on.
I know.
What the? And he makes everything up on the spot. He ad-libs everything.
But isn't that...
He's so clever.
Isn't that still kind of why even the networks, and that's really dwindled, but why they're so powerful is because there's really only four networks.
Yeah.
But on Vine, you have thousands upon thousands of influencers.
Really?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are trying to be influencers and trying to make money off of it. It's just there is a finite number of people that can do it. Whereas when you do have these corporations that have to put their money behind you...
But, you know, it's funny how you notice that they all are good-looking people, really good-looking people. I mean, is it possible a lot of people just go on because they like the way they look?
Well, that's all Instagram's for, is for, you know, chicks, hot chicks to put pictures of their butt and their food they eat.
Well, you know, we haven't even mentioned yet is the Cubs.
I know. How
are
rock,
the World Series.
How rock are you?
I'm pretty pumped. You know, I swear, I'm kind of growing into this idea of being a fan of a winning team called the Cubs. I was pretty comfortable being, you know, a fan of a team that's known for losing, and it's weird.
Ugh, don't say that.
No,
it's the one problem I have with Cubs fans. They were too comfortable with losing.
Well, it just was. That's the way it went, and you know, I never expected much.
I had one thought watching that last night. Was when did your mom find out?
I don't know if she knows yet, to be honest.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Not
sorry.
Sure.
Sorry.
I know it's kind of weird.
I didn't know if you called her today and said, hey, the Cubs are going to the World Series, and if that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That would have an effect.
Yeah, 96 years and no World Series. No, I think she'll be excited, but she seems to have lost interest in the Cubs. It's really weird. She used to watch every game.
Really?
Yeah.
It's because she's taking every moment to plot her comeback of that lady.
Well, that could be playing a role in it. No doubt. That eats up some time.
And did you see the 90-year-old super fan that the media has gone gaga over? She was there last night.
Yeah. They also have gone gaga over a 102-year-old lady who has kept score of every game for over 60 years.
Anybody going to check that for accuracy?
They did. She has notebooks full, and she was showing notebooks from 1963.
And matches up the official box score?
Well, good question. I think they should do that. If she's going to talk shit about how she keeps score, then they ought to make sure it's accurate before they just go on and say it. They never do that, though. They never do. We sent some accountant firms in here. We sent forensic accountants in to make sure these scorecards match the lineup that day.
Four more walks than you were supposed to. Those were fielder joints. Those weren't hits.
I mean, maybe she's trying to draw attention to herself. I don't know. Who knows?
That 90-year-old, though, they asked her how she was going to celebrate, and she said she was going to drink some Jaeger.
Cool.
Did you hear her?
Yeah, I did.
It was awesome.
Yeah, she was cool.
Wrigleyville's going insane.
You know, it's funny. I saw Bill Murray right after the game. Uh-huh. He's just laughing. He can't stop laughing. He's so happy. It's really funny. It reminded me when Virginia Tech beat Ohio State 3 years ago.
Yeah, when they won the national championship.
Right. It was like the third game of the year, and you know, I forgot what the line was, but certainly weren't expected to even be a close game. When they intercepted a pass and ran in the end zone with like 50 seconds left, which was the clincher of the game, I started laughing, and I couldn't stop laughing for like five straight minutes. I was laughing. I just could not stop laughing. It was such overwhelming joy. I mean, I don't know why. I've seen them beat good teams before, but it was just so unexpected.
But that's what's so weird about this. They won 103 games this year, yet everyone's just so surprised because of the history that they are making it in the World Series. It's really not that big of a surprise.
No, they're really good. They have a great team.
Great team,
and
yeah.
I think they should win the World Series, honestly.
They're favored.
They should be.
Even though they don't have home field, but they're favored.
There is that thing hanging over them, though, and they talk about it all the time in Chicago. And so if you're on that team and you start to get good and you start to become, you know, a potential division winner or a playoff team, they'll start talking about it, and I don't know if it gets in people's heads. I wouldn't think so, because why does this team care about 84, 89, 2003?
Chris Bryant wasn't even alive. Well, 2003, but, you know, he doesn't even remember any of that, right?
It shouldn't. It really shouldn't matter, but I just wonder if there's something to, you know, when people are so negative about the frustration that franchises had for so long, because there are certain franchises. Now, some franchises are utterly inept.
Well, that's what's getting lost in this, too. The other franchise has been utterly inept, too.
Now, the Red Sox had futility for a long time. They had some really good teams.
I'm just talking about the Indians.
Yeah, the Indians haven't won since 1948. They've been in the World Series twice.
One of the two longest droughts are going to be over.
Yeah.
I want the
Indians have a shot. The Indians have a good team.
Oh my God, yeah.
Great starting pitching.
Oh, both of them have great starting pitching.
Yeah.
I just want the Cubs to win, because if the Indians win, that means every other team in the Central has won a World Series more recently than the Tigers.
Twins
yeah, in 91, right. White right. Sox 05, of course, the Royals last year, and then it would be the Indians.
Well, the Royals won in 85, too.
Yeah, but
what are you laughing at, Jay?
All more recently.
Mark's mom responded.
Oh Jay, yes,
with a happy a smiley face, an emoticon.
She probably thinks it's me typing it.
And what would you say to her smiley face so Jay can respond?
Mom, go to bed. It's past your bedtime, Mom. It's 8:45. Go to bed. Go to bed. Ask her if Al's doing okay after Ohio State lost yesterday.
So skip the bedtime one. I already typed it out.
Oh, yeah, no. You can send that. She didn't care.
All right, that's it.
Will you please tell her it's you doing it? I'm so bummed. I don't even know why I'm bummed, but it just bums me out.
She's having fun.
Mom!
She's having fun. She's picked up social media. She's found the joy of social media.
Can I ask her about Logan Paul and his vines, the guy that she
doesn't know who that is. She has no idea who that is.
She said, oh, I think he's hot.
I think he's hot.
I download all his vines. I watch all his vines.
Oh, that guy needs to be stopped.
Actually, she would laugh at how stupid that guy is, knowing her. If I know her, if I know my mom, and I think I do.
So I wonder, Will this World Series do just the most outrageous numbers in terms of viewers? I'm thinking it will, too.
Yep.
It's going to be a big deal. It's going to be all week. It's going to be crazy. And that scene outside of the ballpark every night is just nuts.
Although I wonder, it actually probably depends on how close the games are, too, don't you think?
They'll be good games, don't you think?
I would think so, but games. I thought last night's game would have been good, but once I felt like once it was 2-0 in the first, it was over.
I felt the same way.
You did,
you know,
okay.
You know when I thought it was over? When the outfielder dropped that ball, it was like, wow, that's going to cost him at least another run, and it just seemed like it set the tone. I don't know how to explain it, but it just felt totally that way. And Hendricks was great. I mean, he pitched a great game. He really did.
You know, everyone's surprised at his ERA. Was he 2.13 this year?
Yeah, really low.
But if you look at his last 2 years, he's and even his minor league stats, he's always been a low hit per inning pitcher. He's always been.
He
really
just doesn't throw that hard. I think people just expect if you don't throw that hard. Yeah, location. There are some guys who have such outstanding control. Greg Maddux is a great example.
My favorite ever, yeah.
Yeah, God, he was a great pitcher. I loved watching him pitch. Just the way he'd go inside, outside, low, high, everywhere, but wherever, right down the middle of that plate.
Wherever he wanted it.
And when he threw you, Larry King, I feel most be rooting for the Cubs in the World Series. I'm torn. I love them, but I'm also a big Terry Francona fan. What to do?
Of course, Larry loves everyone.
Saddened by the Dodgers' loss. I really thought we'd have a Game 7. With that said, congrats to the Cubs. A great ball club. By the way, he uses, you know, at Dodgers.
Yeah, loss. Yeah, tags them.
What I think the Dodgers are enjoying the fruits of Larry's,
Larry's
links.
Going back to the Lions, did you see the Lions responded to Skip Bayless's tweet? Did you hear about Skip Bayless today?
What was his tweet?
After the Cousins touchdown, he tweeted about how Washington won and how the game was over.
What?
Let me find the
story. What an asshole!
Total asshole. But it gets, believe it or not, he becomes a bigger asshole in the whole thing.
Oh, I cannot believe. Well, if he doesn't say anything besides "I'm the biggest idiot for doing that," I'm so sorry. He's dumber than I think.
Well, in pure Skip Bayless form, he turns his wrong into his right.
Oh, how's that?
I want to read them so I don't mess them up here. But the Lions actually tweeted them back, which I thought was great. Here we go. 4 hours ago, Wimbo. Kirk Cousins just pulled off another. You like that? Redskins rally from 13-3 down mid fourth to win in Detroit. Skins win. I'm impressed. That was at 3:47. Then the Lions tweeted him back at 4:16. Hashtag Lions win. That's all they wrote back with an asterisk.
Sweet.
So then he responded later. Kirk Cousins heroics canceled by Matt Stafford. My prediction barely holds up. Skins lose. I had them losing 6 of the next 7, starting with Detroit. So he's reminding everybody that
he picked
the Lions to win.
What a jackass. He didn't apologize?
No. So that's not the Skip Bayless form.
What an absolute dolt.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
You know, the Cubs can still let us all down by losing the series and make this a two-step process.
Well,
where they got to get back
still,
and win
it. 71 years from, was it 45?
Yeah,
right?
No, that's one wall that's knocked down. But still, I mean, is losing the World Series that great? Detroit fans?
No.
2006, no. 2012.
Not when you don't win 103 games throughout the year.
And I'm not saying I didn't enjoy the hell out of 2006, and 2012 was cool, too.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it does end with that big bummer, and you're sort of left with, oh, well, we got one more thing to do. Which the Tigers still haven't done.
Would this be a failure of a season?
No, you can't call it a failure because they haven't been to the World Series since 1945. So we do have the joy of watching our team in the World Series.
Yeah.
It's just that I think winning the World Series is the only thing that ends all the, you know, focus on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they haven't won a World Series since 1908.
Yeah. Just the fact that they haven't been in one, though, is ridiculous.
I know, that is incredible to be not even been there since 1945. And they've had such good teams, too. That 69 team had 4 Hall of Famers on it.
Yeah, well, hardly anybody made the playoffs. They had 2 teams, right?
Two teams from each league.
And winner in the NL.
But still, they were up by 8.5 games, in 9 games in middle of August.
I was surprised you weren't impressed with my mid-80s Cubs knowledge last night on text. What now? Oh, Christ. What are you guys doing?
I took a nap. I get to stay up late. Another emoji, by the way.
Does she know it's
like
not?
It looks like a duck smiling.
It's a mom. She's allowed to use emojis. Does she know this isn't me?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
She says, who is Logan Paul?
Jay, will you tell her it's you?
Jay asked her if she saw Logan Paul's latest Vine. Al's fine. Grumpy as usual.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he was really bummed.
Surprised
he's not
an emoji.
Stop messing with my mom. Mom!
Where were we? In the Cubs, yes.
Yeah, well, he's talking about Leon Durham.
Yeah, 89 is Leon Durham. 84. No, 84 is Leon Durham. They were up 2-0 with the Padres.
And he had a ball go between his legs, and nobody seems to ever remember that because of 2 years later, Buckner.
Right. And there were other things in that game. The Cubs also lost game 4 on Steve Garvey's home run and extra innings off Lee Smith. That might have been the bottom of the 9th, actually. And then 89, they just weren't competitive. They lost to the Giants in 5 games. Greg Maddux was shelled in 2 starts.
Really?
In that series.
Yes. I didn't know that.
Yep. It was Maddux's first big year with the Cubs. He won 19 games and got shelled twice. And they lost in 5. And then 2003, of course, everyone remembers Bartman and that debacle. But they've had some really good teams.
What was I watching when they were talking about the Cubs? It might have been during the Lions game today. Who does the game with Spielman? Is it Ron Pitts? Is he doing the game? I can't remember who's doing the game.
I'm not sure.
But anyway, they did the promo for the World Series.
Yeah.
And he brought up Bartman, and if they won, what a class act it would be to have him back. And I'm sitting there going, Bartman's the one who hasn't come back.
Yeah, there's a lot of people suggesting Bartman should throw out the first pitch in the first game. Yeah, I know. Tons of people. Columnists are demanding it.
He throws out the first pitch of the game, and they lose. And then he gets shit on all over again,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, no, he has. There have been so many offers for him to turn up, to make money.
But it's him. He chooses not to.
Yeah, I don't even. No one even knows where he is.
I bet you he shows up at the game.
And I don't know what. I mean, how does the city apologize for that? What, and
you put them on a float for the parade if they win? I don't know, right? And because Drew, if they put him on a float for the parade, wouldn't people just cheer it like crazy?
Yeah, they would. I think everybody feels pretty stupid about that. They should. If you've ever seen the documentary on that, the way he's treated is incredible.
It's awful.
I mean, adults, people 40, 50 years old, throwing shit at him, you know, cursing at him.
Yep.
It's really, it's amazing to me. It's a real, this, it ought to be part of some kind of a study on crowd behavior, because it's really amazing. I mean, those are people who have tickets to game 6 of the NLCS. They've got to be pretty well-to-do people, and they are acting like the most immature imbeciles in the history of the planet. I mean, it's so stupid.
When they had a chance to win even that game after that.
The shortstop, Gonzalez booting that ground ball, is what that would have ended the inning. It was a double play ball. It was right in his glove, and he dropped it.
Well, the mob needs to, they need a guy to sacrifice, and that day it was Bartman.
Wow.
I really think his name and the way he looked just made him an easy target, too. I mean, his name after the fact, but the way he looked that night.
Well, yeah, he looked like somebody who had been bullied, and so it was. Yeah. He looked like a good subject for some good adult bullying.
Yeah.
Like some angry, drunk adults.
Antiquated headphones on with the fuzz over.
Boy, it's really, I really just felt terrible watching that documentary. It just made me feel bad in general. Like, oh my God, how could that happen?
Well, did you see the other news story of the couple that met because of Bartman and then they got married?
Oh no.
Because after the Bartman thing happened, they were in the upper deck and everybody in their row, like, moved to go watch all the action. And so this man and this woman were the only ones left. So the guy starts talking to the chick.
And they got married because of Bartman.
That's how they met. That was their first meeting. And then they said 6 months for their first date after exchanging.
Wow,
emails.
Slow down.
That's what I thought. 6 months.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, but they're not mad at Bartman. They, you know, people asked him, "Did you invite him to your wedding?" People.
Well, between the Bartman demands to throw out the first ball at the first game and the Indian fans, well, everyone demands that Charlie Sheen be invited to throughout the Cleveland first ball.
I mean, not a jinx.
It looks like no one is going to do anything that everybody wants them to do.
Well, that's boring.
Yeah, I mean, the Indians, this thing was a massive social media thing. It was, I mean, tons of people demanding Charlie Sheen. And they just come out and say, all that's been decided. We have people throwing out the first balls. All the anthem singers have been picked.
Right. What, so Corey Schneider is going to throw out the first pitch? Or Mel? Maybe Mel Hall.
Mel Hall.
Oh, wait, is he behind bars?
Yes, he's behind bars.
That's right. I'm just trying to think.
I mean, honestly, as if they can't add Charlie Sheen in there somewhere. I mean, who's going to stop him?
Well, have him do something. Have him do. Have him just run out of the bullpen and get the crowd riled up before game.
Deliver the first ball to the first ball thrower.
Yeah, people would go nuts for that.
They would go ape shit. I think it's all about Charlie Sheen. Actually, is what it really is.
Sheen should just go to the game.
Yeah,
you know, just show up there. Why not?
He loves baseball.
Yeah,
maybe he will.
I don't know.
I still haven't heard back from Tony Todd. I'm kind of bummed. We may have to just blow in a call.
Maybe they're driving on the way there.
I don't know. It's what? A cell phone.
You don't think they're going to? Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You think they're going to carpool there?
I wonder if we've lost our influence with Tony Todd already, apparently.
So, like, what are they going to do? Who's going to throw out the first pitch then for the Indians? Who cares?
Oh, right? Some former Indian. Let's see. Who could throw? who's the Lions' first base coach or the shortstop that played forever? For the Indians?
Not Alomar. Roberto Alomar.
No, not Alomar could be a guy.
Omar? Omar.
Yeah, Omar Vizquel?
Yeah.
Yeah, Vizquel.
Really?
Somebody that's... like that? No, I'm just throwing somebody out there.
Jim Tomey?
How about Albert Bell? He's a good guy.
Joey Bell?
Yeah.
Kenny Lofton?
What are you looking at, Jay? What is that story?
This is there was a story about Charlie Sheen and Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, they hang out?
Well, shaking hands like at
a
Dodgers game.
Oh, I see. Oh, they're making good.
But you got Tony.
Oh yeah, there's Tony. Of course, Tony's right in the scene.
Look at all the shit under their seats.
Guess Charlie's had about 18 beers and everything to eat in the entire stadium. That's funny. I would have never looked down at that. You guys. Mike Clark, too, notices everything in a picture. I'm so zoned in on reading that I just want to read the article, yeah. And then I'll miss completely the picture, and sure enough, somebody's drawing a penis in somebody's hand or you know something. I'm like, I didn't even see that great opportunity.
Oh, man. Now I'm really intrigued to see who they're choosing to throw these first pitches for both.
They'll probably announce it pretty soon. They like doing it one game at a time, I think.
Really? They won't?
I don't think they'll announce the whole lineup. By the way, kind of a...
did you hear that LeBron and Dwayne Wade made a bet?
Oh, how stupid. Wade hasn't played one game for the Bulls.
But he's from there. But here's what makes it even worse. Here's what makes it even worse, Drew. He's not a Cubs fan. He's a White Sox fan.
Oh, Dwayne Wade is?
Yeah. And LeBron is a notorious Yankees fan. He's not
Then it's
Indians
utterly
fan.
Ridiculous.
It's so stupid.
Stupid.
That's the joke about LeBron. His favorite baseball team is the Yankees, and his favorite NFL team is the Cowboys.
Oh, man.
Like the two most successful franchises that have nothing to do with where he grew up.
I just want to tell you, I saw two things, actually. One, similar to the Bozo appearance in Windsor. Yeah. To sign autographs, which is, I feel sorry for people that want to go to that.
Maz.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Did you see this story about the USS Detroit, the ship?
Yeah. Yeah, Armani was out there.
Oh. Assigned, right?
Yeah.
Did you see how long the lines were?
To see the ship?
To see the ship?
No.
People were waiting for hours.
Hours?
Hours.
What do you get to do? Do you get to drive the ship around the river for a while? I mean,
no, you can go on and they show you around part of the ship. Part of it's not available to be seen, apparently, but whatever the most harmless area of the ship, I guess you can go on. But they had said they were only taking 1,000 people. They're like 5,000 people in line.
Really? Why would you, if you were 4,000, why would you wait?
I have no idea. People waited like 6-7 hours. And they got to shake the captain's hand.
Cool. Just kidding. I don't think it's worth it. Now, see, I think the ship's pretty badass and kind of cool.
Would you wait like 4 hours?
No, I don't think I'd wait more than 10 minutes.
I wouldn't even go if there was no wait.
But I didn't even go down there to look at it. So
yeah, I wouldn't. Pictures. I wouldn't go to the
it's
trouble.
Cool.
I mean, I understand why people would dig that, but to wait for. Hours and hours.
No, thank you.
God, and like when you left, would you go?
Did you get to honk the horn or anything?
I know if they said you could drive the boat for a half hour, I might do it.
I'd probably wait 8 hours then. Of course, the line would be three times as long.
And then there's talking about, and this is just what bothers me about. They're talking about. They haven't even determined this. They're talking about taking away the pensions of the Detroit teachers who've been convicted of stealing from the schools.
Okay, do it.
They're talking about it.
It's a felony, right?
Yeah, and there's a law, by the way, that says, you know, it, just in case there's any question, yes, you can take pensions away from people who are convicted of crimes.
Okay, then do it.
Right.
I can't understand.
They're talking about taking part of their pension away. Why? Talking about it. I don't know. Wait, I'm like, take the whole fucking thing away. Are you kidding me? What's to talk about?
Are they going
to
get their jobs back after they get out of
I don't know. I'm starting to wonder. I don't think so. I highly doubt that.
Do they have tenure in DPS?
Oh, hell yeah, they have tenure. But,
okay, well.
But I can't believe some guy stole $300,000.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a mistake.
I don't think so.
So why? It should be case closed. No pension for you, buddy.
No, I thought it was so simple.
You messed up.
They passed a law just in case there was any doubt that you could do that. They passed a law just to make it real easy. And they still are not jumping all over this. That's a bunch of, okay, first of all, they stole a bunch of money that they're not going to get back.
No.
I mean, they're supposed to
pay it back.
They're supposed to pay it back, but how many of them really will?
Find, yeah, no.
Not to mention the damage they did to the school system, whatever that damage was, and the people who didn't get resources they were supposed to get. So why would you give them a pension? What is that? Oh, you can't take your pension away. Oh, my God, that'd be terrible. Well, it's terrible what they did.
That's really stupid. That seems like a no-brainer.
Jay just landed on the picture I actually made a note of this. Janet Jackson in complete Muslim garb with her Muslim billionaire husband from Qatar.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, so she's converted, apparently.
Wait, like fully covered? Like a full burqa?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
What? Then how do you know it's her?
Because it's her. Well, look, you tell me.
She's trying to cover her baby bump, being pregnant. Yeah.
So I guess she can't tour anymore. She can tour wearing that?
Yeah, why not?
She can't tour wearing that. People are going to demand pregnant. She take some clothes off.
She's pregnant. Demand she take some clothes off.
She has to look hot on stage.
She's come a long way from whipping her titty out at the Super Bowl, huh?
I guess so.
Oh, stupid.
I know.
So this is our punishment because she got us all in trouble back then?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. But
that's funny. I was talking with Jake Chapman, you know, about the nasty woman, Trump's nasty woman comment.
Yep.
What's so wrong with that comment? She's a woman.
I don't know why that got people so up in arms.
Is it because she's a woman? But I mean, that's factual. She's a woman and she's nasty. Like if she said to Trump, "You're a nasty man," there wouldn't be the uproar.
They've said so many things
about
Trump. They've said so many things about Trump. They call him a xenophobe, a racist, a sexist. I don't know. They've called some really borderline things racist, in my opinion. I mean, you can call him a racist. Go ahead. But that's in some many cases, it's a bit of a leap.
No, I know. But nasty woman. I mean, she said something nasty to him and she is a woman.
Oh, she can be very nasty.
But why? Extremely so why did that become such a big deal?
I don't know. I don't understand that.
Well,
really
simply because she's a woman.
But then again, I don't understand a lot of other things. Like, why would somebody, because he said, no, I've never assaulted anyone like that. Why would that make someone come forward? I would think they would come forward because he just denied doing it, or just because, I don't know. It just seems like...
Because it's kind of a slap in the face, I think, is thinking. It's like, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to prove, you're running for president, I'm going to prove that, yes, you did assault people.
But do they really think, okay, I think maybe the video itself would have brought them out, not just him responding to it. The video, to me, was more offensive than him denying
it. But that shows how tough it is if you... were, you know, if you were harmed sexually by someone, how hard it is to come forward, and it's not until push really comes to shove. I mean, he really is just up there denying it, and I could see how that would infuriate a victim.
I'm not trying to say that I don't believe them or, you know, that it's stupid or anything. It's just really interesting to me. That line would do it.
The new accuser, by the way. The
porn star?
Yeah, did you watch her porn when you swear?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, of course.
Went straight to it.
I'm sure everybody did as soon as they heard adult star Jessica Drake. Yeah,
and I felt guilty about it. Like, this is really inappropriate to me. But as soon as I saw her, I was like, wow, I wonder what her porn's like. And I checked it out. I wasn't crazy about her porn, by the way.
Why?
I just have seen better.
Pretty lady.
Yeah, she's attractive.
She likes it in the butt.
She made. Yeah, she does like it in the butt.
She made a lot.
I thought she made weird faces. Oh. And I thought her
I wasn't looking at her face.
Her rap while she was being pounded was kind of weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't like the way she talked and like what she was.
Oh, I didn't have the audio up.
Look at her mouth in her. She makes weird faces. I swear to God.
Oh, fascinating! I'm now really fascinated.
And also check out when she talks. It sounds fake and weird.
Oh, really?
I think so.
But this new accusation, and I don't want to give him.
Jay's bringing up some porn. I think.
Oh, really?
We're making a demonstration. She's really hot. I will say that.
This new assault is like the weakest of all the assaults because he kissed her. Hello, right?
Yeah, and she hung out with him a bunch of times.
Yeah. But it's because he offered to pay her money for sex. I think that she was insulted. But this one seemed like a little
piling. He talked to her on the phone a bunch of times.
This one seemed like a little piling on.
She took his phone calls. Yeah, I thought it was kind of pointless, too.
Yeah. Well, plus the fact that she's not going to be, people will never give her any credit just because she's an adult actress.
Well, she probably got more hits on her porn last night than she's ever had in her life.
True. She's like the first one who's going to benefit.
Yeah. And don't tell me she didn't think about that.
But see, that this is what sucks. It's going to disqualify all the other ones to some people.
I love how this starts.
That's true.
One that we brought up, she just gets thrown onto the bed. The scene is just the bed, and you just see her sailing into the room.
That's nice.
Yeah, she takes a big old bounce. Fake!
Music's
terrible. He just pulls it right out.
Music's terrible.
It's nice of her to pull her skirt up.
I can't see what's going on.
She's performing a particular act. She can't really talk. She can't make my point right now.
Oh, okay. Well, don't we have any, like...
This part will be over soon, though. Trust me.
Don't we have any scenes of her acting?
No.
No?
Wow.
You are
make my point.
You are so hot. Remember Amy Fisher's husband?
Oh yeah.
You are so hot.
That was the worst I've ever seen. Oh, she's okay. We're getting some chatter.
It's not like she has much rapping.
I think we're getting some chatter. Come on. Come on. Say something dumb. Come on.
It is fun listening to the news talk about her AVN awards.
Talk to me, honey.
Isn't she won multiple AVNs?
Yeah.
Can you speak up? You like that?
Yeah. Come on, talk to me. Talk to me, honey.
Oh, my God, she's so boring.
She's not even that hot because...
Very low energy.
There's an indicator.
Boring.
In that there's a good percentage of him that's not getting in.
Oh, really?
I believe that she's not as excited as she's making herself out to be.
Well, she's a good actress. That's why she won the award. That's why she's won multiple AVN awards. One of our finest actresses.
Did they say what award she had won?
Just multiple AVN awards. You want me to look it up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to
guess
she won group sex.
I'm guessing she won in the A categories.
Oh, in the anal category?
Yeah, I would think.
What'd she say?
Fuck me.
I guess I can't complain about the verbiage in this yet.
Make me feel good.
Make me feel good. Make me feel good, hon.
Make me feel good.
Yeah, pretend I'm Trump.
Oh, man, she's won a ton of awards. You ready?
Yeah, pretend I'm the Donald, honey.
2001 AVN Best Tease Performance. As if anybody's seen any
boring.
Of the tease performances.
Nobody cares.
That wasn't even a category.
That's a real cheap award to win.
That's one everybody skips by immediately. 2002 The Night Movie Awards, whatever that is, Best Actress. 2005 AVN Best Oral for The Collector.
Well, that's significant.
2005, she also won for Best Actress for the movie Fluff and Fold.
Talk to me, Annie. Come on.
There it is.
What?
Big finish.
Oh, here we go. Oh, you missed. You missed the target. Target was wide left.
Well, yeah. Oh, gross.
That comforter's ruined.
But she's going to have a great complexion.
Oh, man.
All right. I think we're at about the 210 mark. We should probably, we're just going to do one part.
You don't want to know about her other awards?
Yeah. What else you win?
2007 AVN for Best Actress in Film. Again, repeat winner, right?
Well,
for Manhunters.
Okay.
2007 AVN Award. Best All-Girl Scene for the film. Fuck! Come on. You couldn't put a little...
creativity?
Yeah. Well, what are they doing in this scene?
We're going to call this one fuck, okay? what are they doing? They fuck.
We got to rush it out.
What better description is there? What do you mean don't call it fuck? Fuck you! Don't start getting all artsy-fartsy on me.
And the sequel's going to be called
Suck. What are they fuck?
Oh, you're...
I can't breathe. That voice, I can see that guy. 2009 AVN for Best Actress in Fallen. She also won Best Double Penetration Sex Scene for
Fallen. Oh, a DP?
The same year, yeah.
Wow, I didn't think she'd do DP.
2000 and... I'm just doing all the AVNs now. 2010 AVN for Best Group Sex Scene in the movie 2040. Then she, that same year, she was inducted to the AVN Hall of Fame. And then 2014 AVN Award for Best Safe Sex Scene.
God, that was the weirdest ad on the right-hand side, Jay. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It's really just a loop, but it looks like this chick is just, she's masturbating as she pounds this guy off. And
well, that's not very efficient.
They both look, well, he's just doing nothing. He looks like the laziest. I mean, what
well,
is he
I know,
doing?
But if
he's
they're both,
nothing.
If they're both doing that, why don't they just have intercourse?
No, he's not doing anything. She's doing it all to herself and him.
Yeah, so why don't they just have intercourse then?
I don't know. I can't talk to them or I would. Ooh, Tinder for moms. Okay. So we've covered her award section.
Yeah, I think that's most of them. She also play, she also won an award for playing Snow White Triple X. You know, the porn parodies.
Good for her.
She won for Sexpionage, the Drake Collections. So that's pretty good.
It's an impressive lineup there.
She's been married twice, both to former porn male porn stars.
Her, celebrity net worth is $2 million, so she's been compensated handsomely for her her outstanding work.
This is on her Wikipedia, on her personal life, the last line is, her brother and father were more supportive of her career choice than her mother.
You would think it'd be the other way around.
Sure, yeah, yeah. She is pretty, though, right?
Oh, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
She is. Okay, tomorrow I think Elric's going to be joining us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
He actually asked him a couple weeks ago, and he was waiting because he's got a big story coming up Tuesday. He wanted.
I appreciate that he's coming in for Michigan State Week.
That too. Yes, indeedy. And after a 5-game losing streak, takes some guts to come in here.
Did you watch any of the state game? I know it was on kind of at the same time as the Cubs.
No, I didn't watch much because I was watching the Cubs. But
at the end of the first half, Mark D'Antoni sends out Geiger to kick a 44-yard field goal with like 2 seconds left, and they faked it by having Geiger run the ball.
He was going to run 44 yards?
Apparently. Instead of kicking it with the wind behind his back. I have not seen any explanation for that play, but I thought that was the most bizarre decision when he can easily make a 44-yarder.
Rosie just responded to something.
Oh, come on.
She knows it's you now, Jay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She said, wait, what's this said before that? Okay. Mark is telling me that I have to tell you this is Jay typing this out. We're on the air. Oh, crap. That's the downside of the podcast. I have to wait to hear what you say about us. And then she's got an emoji with a frowning face. Tell my sweet baby boy
aww,
that I love him and stop using the F word.
Oh, great. Oh, no. And I just realized what we were talking about.
Oh.
Sorry, Mom. I'm sorry. And I did not watch your video. I can't see
it. Yeah, Mark's on the other side. True. Can't see it from this screen. That's true. So he still has never seen porno.
Never. Never.
All right. Well, with that, again, Elric tomorrow. And I think we're going to get Maz in here Tuesday. Trudy, of course, Thursday. And Charlie, as far as I know, Friday. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He put my ladder away today. So I think he's feeling better.
Weirdest story.
Actually, he was fine. By the end of the podcast, he was fine. And what's the weirdest story?
Just that he came over to put your...
Oh, yeah, I know. I know. It's really, it really cracked me up. I mean, he seemed real spirited. He was barefoot. He wasn't wearing shoes.
Like, he doesn't live that close, though, does he?
Yeah, he's just five blocks away.
Yeah, that's not that close.
Well, he didn't walk. He had his car in front.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I don't know where he was going barefoot, though.
Was he going to the Pleasant Ridge Founders Fest?
Possibly. He also had tape on his foot, and I'm like, well, what happened to your foot? He said he stepped on a piece of glass in his garage.
Oh, man.
Pretty deep cut in his. Did you get any stitches? No, it's okay.
So, that sucks.
You may be a little gimpy if you see Charlie around. Anyway, have a good one tomorrow. We'll catch you with Mr. Elric and the rest of the crowd, as in us, mañana. So we'll see ya.